What is that?
These things. You fucking mix this with some meth.
Yeah.
Forget about it. You do a couple lines. You snort these things.
This show is brought to you by NatureBox.com. Go to NatureBox.com/Joey, and you're going to get your first box of NatureBox snacks on them. NatureBox.com/Joey, and only if you act fast. They have great snacks, barbecue kettle kernels. Go to NatureBox.com/Joey, and you get your first box of NatureBox snacks on them. Show is also brought to you by MeUndies.com. Go to MeUndies.com/Joey and get 20% off of your first order of men's and women's underwear. They have t-shirts, socks, sweatpants. You get 20% off of your first order, and they give you free shipping in the United States and Canada. And go to Onnit.com and use code word CHURCH to get 10% off all of the great optimization products, Alpha Brain, New Mood, Shroom Tech Immune, Shroom Tech Sport. It's code word CHURCH to get 10% off.
Just like that, Don Felder smoother than a motherfucker back in the mid-70s. Here you go. The album before this was like very country-ish.
Right, they were cowboys on the
and
cover.
And then this motherfucker joined.
Yeah, yeah.
Crack that, Lee. Oh shit. One of these crazy old oh shit.
Get it.
You're gonna suck it, pretty mama. Oh shit. The church of what's happening now. Thursday. Kick that league. August 27th. The day the devil was molested. Look at Lee getting all fucked up there.
He's feeling it.
3,000 milligrams is down to like 1,000.
You think we probably did 500 each of the last two episodes?
Yeah, we did 500 on Monday for sure.
Oh, well, you did way over 500 with those.
I was laughing at that poor guy's face. What's going on, my brother?
Everything, man.
Always a pleasure to have Matt Fultron on to celebrate his new fucking car. It's over.
Yeah.
Last time you were here, I didn't know if you had a car or not. You made me feel bad.
Don't feel bad. There was always a Chrysler 300C coming in the future. I never felt bad about it.
I could tell
other people.
I was in this town without a car for like a year and a half. I was telling you guys, I came out in 84, and I wanted to work. A buddy of mine said I'd get a job working for the phone company.
Uh-huh.
And I came here and I got directions, and the guy's like, yeah, you take the bus downtown, then you got to transfer and go up to Pico and whatever. And once he said transfer, I was like, yeah, I'll take one bus. But once you get involved in two or three transfers,
and
I didn't want to work.
That was based on your East Coast knowledge. Imagine you didn't even realize that West Coast transportation, or at least L.A. transportation, is shit.
Well, I knew at 19 I had traveled, and I remember going to Arizona. I remember going to Tempe to visit a buddy of mine from high school. I went to Miami growing up.
Yeah.
You know, growing up all those years. But then as an adult, I went to Miami, like 18, 19, and that was another place. Mm-hmm. It was too complicated. Northeast, Southwest, fuck you. I know straight up. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, give it to me in streets. Broadway.
Right.
Amsterdam, fucking whatever. First Avenue, Second Avenue.
House.
Miami, I got to have a fucking compass.
Right.
I got to be a Boy Scout with a fucking scarf and, you know, Northwest, Southeast. So I knew that wasn't for me. I knew that wasn't going to work. It'd take me a year to get accustomed to all the directions.
Mm-hmm.
And then I came out here to visit my uncle. I got into the beef with him, and it was too spread out.
Yeah.
This little train saves a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
But I got to tell you something. That fucking train petrifies the shit out of me.
The underground
just
train?
Just one here in LA.
Yeah.
And I don't give a fuck what they tell you. It's got springs. If there's an earthquake, listen, if there's an earthquake, the door's locked and you're stuck with just so much fucking air.
No, you're dead down there if there's an earthquake.
So?
I'm pretty sure if you get stuck down there, there's no cell phone coverage down there. There's no fucking security either. The place is kind of a risk.
And there's people right now that in the next couple of days will be sitting on the train listening to this podcast going, what the fuck is this guy spooking me out right now?
Oh, I know.
I smoked a joint on the way here. I didn't know what to expect when I got on a New York train. Mm-hmm. You know, I knew I was going to have a fun time since right. I was a kid. I knew I always had a fun time on the train.
But it's different, I think, especially East Coast, because Boston has a train, too, and people know how to behave. Like, every once in a while, you'll get a crazy person, but, like, if the train stops, people just mind their business. Paula was on the train here, and it was stopped for, like, 5 minutes, and people were opening the doors in the middle, like, they were just going to get out and walk on the tracks. Like, and I was like, what are you talking about? She's like, yeah, they were just... They were sick of waiting. I was like, that's not what happens when a train stops.
No.
I think they're just not used to it out here yet.
They're used to it when it fucking crashes into them after it starts back up.
Oh, jeez.
That's ridiculous. Walk on that big rail. The third one.
Something about being a young man and taking a train up to Harlem to cop weed or drugs or put a bed in or whatever stupidity I used to do as a young man.
Yeah.
I really dug it. I really, it gave me yeah. a sense that I was an adult, you know, riding right. the train when I was 15 and 14. I knew the A train. It was Broadway all the way down. You can't miss. That's the only train, a couple trains to Yankee Stadium, that Bronx train.
Yeah.
I didn't go to Yankee Stadium. I just knew that train.
Right.
A couple. I used to take a train to, you could take a train to Kennedy.
Mm-hmm.
They made a big ad, the train to the plane, and then they had a.
I've taken a train to Kennedy.
Sure, and you could take yeah. the train to the Mets games.
Okay,
takes you right to the fucking Met game, like in Boston. I'm sure that right. the Metro goes whatever.
Do you remember the first time you took the train by yourself?
All right, so I moved to Jersey when I was 10, and I got to tell you, it had to be before that. Definitely. So, like, I probably took a train from, like, I didn't tell my mother. You know, I didn't tell my mother because I used to always go up to 143rd. And, you know, in those days, if you wanted to get music, you had to go to, like, 100th Street or 130th, you know. So you always had to walk. But if you get a token in those days, we jumped the rails.
Yeah.
That's
of course.
Called.
You go
jump
under
the fucking
them.
Rails
sure
when
enough.
You're a
yeah.
kid.
Hop a turnstile.
Yeah, I had to be under 10 the first time.
It's fun. Especially where I grew up in Boston. It's not like New York or Jersey where it's, like, right there. Like, you had to get dropped off. It was, like, a 30-minute ride to the train. It's a lot of fun. It's freeing. Like, especially in that big of a city, like... As soon as you get on the train, it's all open to you.
And let me tell you something. That Jersey-New York train is not a bad train. For people who don't know it, that Penn,
right, I've taken it.
Now, I'm not... Don't quote me on this. I know 10 years ago when I was on the road full-time, I took 1,000 trains out of Penn Station.
Yeah.
And I think it was Penn Station that at the end of every train, there's a bar, like before you get on the train.
Uh-huh.
And you get, like, a drink, a Bloody Mary, a vodka tonic, whatever the fuck you're drinking that day. And you get a newspaper or soda, you know, for people who drink. I would just be stoned with a fucking, not an iPod. This is Walkman days.
Walkman.
I'm an old school Walkman. But I've taken the train from the Jersey Shore all the way to Hoboken to New York.
Mm-hmm.
That's not a bad train.
Right.
I heard the train from LA to San Diego isn't
I did
bad.
That.
I thought Lee did it. I heard it's
I haven't
not
done
bad.
It yet, but it's really expensive. Like, it's getting up there to, like, $40-$50 each way.
Each way. Well,
so, at that point, it's not even worth it.
Well, when you consider gas and the traffic you're going to sit in.
That's true, I guess.
Full charge is calling it worth it.
I'll tell
San
you
Diego, what. LA to San Diego is a shit
it's
drive.
It's a shit drive. It's a shit drive. And Lee, tell the boy. How long did it take us to get back that night? Because Lee's my witness.
Tell the boy.
Probably under hour and a half, like right around there, I would guess.
Yeah.
After midnight, you run that fucking road.
Right.
And I told Lee, it's going to be between 90 and 100 the whole way.
Right.
You prepared? Yeah. He thought I was fucking around. I got him down on the come home.
Uh-huh.
That daytime drive, just blow. My brother got delayed yesterday at the airport. Called me and said, you know what? I'm starting to think you're right. We're taking the first flight out. Joe Rogan got stuck yesterday. 4-hour delay in LAX.
Ugh.
That 2 o'clock flight, those 2 o'clock flights are torture.
Yeah.
Always till 5. Let me tell you something. You get delayed from 2 to 5 at LAX.
Yeah.
You get pissed.
It's awful.
My boy here bailed. He got his luggage. It's something about getting stuck at LAX when they come to you and you go, 4 hours. There's nothing I could do. If I call Lee, my fucking Goomba, and said, come get me, it's going to take him 40 minutes to come get me.
Oh, yeah.
And what are we going to do?
Mm-hmm.
What the fuck are we going to do? And then when you don't call him and the flight's delayed again, now you're steaming.
Yeah.
You're steaming now. You're like, what the fuck?
I'm
10 minutes from my house.
And they won't tell, like, I got delayed a little bit coming back from Boston, and the app told me which flight was coming in to get me. And it was like, there was... Like those hurricanes on the East Coast, I was worried all week. But then, like, it was like an hour and a half late coming from Chicago on a fine night. But they won't tell you anything. and they just say it's just terrible. But it's the issue with the early morning flight is when you're booking, when you see 7 in the morning, you just don't want to be up at 4 in the morning. That you need to have something where people, if they try to click it, your face pops up, be like, take the early morning flight.
Listen, man, this is my psychology on this point, though, okay? All right, so I got to go to Toledo.
Yeah.
All right? This is the decision I'm making right now. I got to go to fucking Toledo. It's a Friday, Saturday room. You ever do it? Toledo,
never funny done
room,
it.
Supposedly really cool. It's a Friday, Saturday room. They want me in for Thursday night press. I got a couple options, but the viable option is leaving here at 2 o'clock. For me to leave here at 2 o'clock, what time do I got to be there? 1 o'clock. You know what kind of driving that is on the fucking 405? So the dilemma I have is, you know what? Since I'm never here Thursday anyway, I'm just going to take the 6 a.m. Because I'd rather fucking... It's going to take me 3 hours to do this when the 6 a.m. I got to be there at 5. That's a fucking... That's a playground for Uncle Joey.
Yeah.
I get in the HOV like a motherfucker. And I fucking... I put the baby seat up. They think that I got like a little baby in the back. And there was no traffic at, you know, 4 a.m., 4:30. It's 30 minutes. I'd rather do that 30-minute sentence than do that sentence. I got to leave my house at 11:30 to be down there at 1 o'clock.
And it ain't delayed that much in the morning.
It's never delayed.
Yeah.
Not the first one out, or you'll get a text
that'll
say, hey, boom. If I wake up and there's a text from American Airlines or one of those, there's a problem. Oh, I got upgraded. You know what I'm saying? I got upgraded to the upgrade like a motherfucker.
Either a problem or a solution.
Oh, a solution.
Coming at you.
But you, do you ever get... Because whenever I'm going to LAX, I always leave more than an hour because sometimes that security line's out the door at LAX. But you usually go through the... Even when you're not in priority, something like you just walk through. And
even when I'm not in priority, I'm in priority. You understand me?
Because you got to make yourself a priority.
Because by the time you get up there, what are they going to say? Get out of the line?
Right.
No, they're not.
Give me your ID.
What are you talking about?
Yeah.
What are you talking? The lady told me to come in here. What are you talking? And you start raising your, all right. And boom, you go in. That Southwest thing where they have the Players Club, then they have like fucking mutts.
Right.
And you look and there's 10,000 mutts and there's 3 players.
Yeah.
Really? Really? You got on the player line. You don't know nothing.
But you're there every week. You never worried you're going to get, like, found out?
You don't know nothing. I don't know nothing. What are you talking about? Me, last week? I haven't been to this airport in 10 fucking years.
I was talking to Tom Segura, and he said the first time he met you, you had just been on a plane and were fighting with somebody in the seat in front of you.
Columbus. And I'm carrying, in those days, you know, I'd have fucking an ounce of weed.
Yeah.
I didn't think I could leave LA. Oh, I would leave for 4 days with an ounce. God forbid I got cut short one day. That was a different Joey. That's when Rogan shot the special in Columbus.
Uh-huh.
And I got on this plane, and here's the funny thing. I saw that guy a year later on a flight to Columbus.
No shit.
He's some Hollywood guy.
Mm-hmm.
He's a Hollywood guy.
Right.
Not an actor. He's like a producer, a director, and... These guys, they leave L.A., and they don't get... They still have that entitlement. And, well, I was... Listen, man, I'll tell you when I'm a fucking cunt.
Mm-hmm.
I was a gentleman to this guy.
Right.
I asked him nicely, and he looked at me and turned his head, so then I pushed the seat up. And then he ran out and got the stewardess on his side.
Yeah.
I'm a nice guy, so when I got there, the cops were waiting for me.
Uh-huh.
And I told the cops the truth. I said, listen, I fly all the fucking time.
Mm-hmm.
I'm working for the UFC, you know, what the fuck? And they're like, okay, you know, misunderstanding. Guess what? A year later, I'm sitting in fucking first class on this side.
Yeah.
And he's got an aisle and I got an aisle. So he's in 1E and I'm in 1D or whatever
Right across the aisle.
So every time he'd look at me, I'd give him like the fuck. I was giggling the whole flight.
Did he recognize you?
Oh, yeah. He knew what happened.
Come on.
Fuck yeah.
You're not going to forget Joey Diaz.
No.
That's mad flavor in a seat next to you.
He pissed me off because nothing. All he had to do was turn around and go, the chair was broken.
Right.
Sometimes you put your chair back and it's fucking broken.
Yeah.
And he knew it. This is what pissed me off. He even turned around and looked at it and was trying to pull it up himself.
Mm-hmm.
So when I just said to him, hey, just pull it up a little bit more. This will work out. He got cunty. He got all of a sudden, he was like, I'm not fucking turning around.
Yeah.
That's the second, one time in Newark. I had it out with some Germans or some Austrians. They told me to shut my phone. Remember, though, you know, there's people who actually believe you got to shut your phone off.
Right, then they trick you.
The pilot says there's three phones still on. You're like, oh, my God, he don't know. You fucking dummy. If he knew, what seat am I in, bitch?
Right.
Call the seat, motherfucker. Right. He's just playing with you.
Yeah, of course.
But you're a pussy. You watch CSI and believe it.
Right. Well,
they found the hair in the window. No, they didn't. No, they didn't find no fucking hair.
They just profiled your ass.
There's 22 fucking hairs, and each test is $10,000.
Yeah.
After three hairs, they're going to go, they're all the same hairs. They belong to the Chinese guy.
That's
so weird. This ain't no fucking Puerto Rican hair.
I leave my phone on now. Like, I try to get, because I have a buddy's dad who flies every week, and what he told me is that those, like, all those things are going off of cellular towers. So every once in a while on a flight now, I'll just check to see if I can get 3G, and I've gotten it before. Like, on the flight back from Boston, I was able to check the map and see where we were, because the plane was, like, 20 years old and didn't have the little maps.
And no plane's ever gone down, and they're like, it was a cell phone.
Well, private jets. You don't see private jets saying you can't use your phones. I'm sure, like, what's the difference?
They don't. You're right.
I've never flown on one, but I'm assuming they're not telling Beyonce you can't use
your... Well, I have, Lee, and it's fine.
You've flown on a private jet?
Yeah.
What is it like?
I'm the full charge, man.
So he don't fuck around.
It's like flying in a commercial, except way, 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 way better. Security's still a bitch, though. Psych. No security.
No security. Nothing. You come on looking like fucking Rambo. No shirt.
You feel like
a bazooka. A knife.
Yeah, and you feel like you're in Led Zeppelin.
You flown private, Joey?
One time.
What is it like?
What I just said.
It just depends the situation.
It just must be amazing, and I'm sure it gets old after a while. But just not have like just. Just even being on a private jet, even if it was packed with 30 people, I'd be like, that's pretty cool.
When I got the longest yard, they called me and said, I got it. Congratulations, this is your deal. We don't know the start due date.
Mm-hmm.
They hung up the phone. Within 2 hours, they called back and they go, okay, are you available Tuesday at 10 a.m.? Yeah, okay. Table read at Sony. All right. Then I didn't hear from them the whole weekend. Then Monday they call and they're like, hey, I've got to ask you a question. Are you available to leave Tuesday after the table read? And I'm like, yeah, where are we going? And they kept going, SFO. So for 3 days, I'm like, I'm going to training camp in San Francisco. Uh-huh. They're like, you got to go training camp and blah, 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 and blah, 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 and blah, blah. Like, okay. Tuesday morning I wake up and they're like, be packed. You know, like you're going away for a while.
Right.
Okay, bring everything you need. Bring prescriptions, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, okay.
Bring your weed.
I had. Listen to what I had, guys. When I booked the longest yard.
Yeah.
Between me and my wife.
Yeah.
I had a $20 bill. I had a half a pack of Marlboro Lights.
Mm-hmm.
And I had maybe a joint and a half.
Yeah.
And I didn't know what was going to happen after that. I went to the store on the corner and I got fives. I tipped the limo driver $10.
Yeah.
When I got to Adam Sandler Productions, I had $10.
Yeah.
12 cigarettes and a joint and a half.
Yeah.
And now we pull the limo pulls up in front of my house. I kiss my wife. I kiss the cats. There was no kid. I get in there.
Right.
Now the whole time, I'm assuming LAX. Right?
Yeah.
What do I fucking know? Guy picks us up, takes us to the fucking Sony studios. We go up the stairs. I get there. Adam Sandler's outside with shorts, a t-shirt, a backwards hat on, and a fucking guinea t-shirt, like an orange guinea t-shirt.
Yeah.
Carrying people's luggage.
Right.
So right now, all this shit is happening to me, okay? All this shit is happening to me. I'm like, this isn't happening.
Right.
He's like, come on, Joey, let me help. Oh, I love your stomach. And he's telling me on the walk. This is the first day I really meet him.
Yeah,
he's telling me how he loves my stomach because his father had a stomach like this and he just died. And he goes, so during the filming, I'm going to rub your stomach for good luck. I used to sit in my dad's stomach. And I'm going, what the fuck is he talking about?
It's like the first thing he's saying.
I don't give a fuck, really. Yeah. He's carrying my fucking luggage up the stairs. We walk into a room. It's like a fucking three room with a long table like Congress.
Mm-hmm.
And different people are scattered. And I see Burt Reynolds, and I see, you know, Turley, the guy who played Turley, the Indian. I don't know who the fuck he is. And I see Romanowski, and I'm like, oh.
Yeah.
And I see Michael Irvin, and I knew Michael Irvin from the Best Damn Sports Show. He's like, yeah, what's going on? And so now I had a home. Now people are like, all right, this guy's cool. He knows Michael Irvin. And in the middle of all this, I look, and there's a little tiny guy at the table, and it's that dude, Warriors.
Yeah.
And right there, that's it. That, who gives a fuck? God could have been in the room. This is the guy that.
From Warriors.
From Warriors. Yeah. And I'm like, this isn't happening. And they're like, before the table read, they're catering it. And I mean chickens and prime ribs with lights and a hat, a guy with a hat cutting it for you. And you're like, if they only knew I was a felon and that I robbed people 10 years ago. Like, if they only knew.
Right.
And they're telling me if I want. And then what's her name walks in? The only woman in the movie. There was two.
Courtney Cox?
No. That one who played the prison guard. The old lady. That was her comeback, guys. The fucking old lady that's in the show on Fox now. She's been around for 80 fucking years. Not Betsy White, but the other one. Betty White, whatever her name is.
I don't know.
I'll look it up.
And once I saw her, I thought I knew it was real.
Right.
We did the table read. She gets up. She moons everybody in the room.
She does.
And she walks out to a standing ovation. That's it. It's on.
Right, right.
And all of a sudden, Adam goes, calm down for 1 second. I'm giving you your assignments. There's going to be cars outside.
Right. Cloris Leachman.
Cloris Leachman moons the whole fucking room with boys.
That's
She's
awesome.
The only woman in the room. So now we finish, and I'm like, what now? And they're like, okay, this is what's going to happen. There's going to be cars outside. Your luggage is going to be carried to that car. Get in the car. You're going to be taken to the airport. And I, as on the way down, I go, fuck, we're going to LAX at 12 o'clock. And they're like, LAX? Shit. This is an Adam Sandler movie.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to Van Nuys Airport.
Absolutely.
Oh, my God. And my heart's beating. And I'm thinking about La Bamba.
Yeah.
My first big movie. I'm going to die. My plane's going to go down.
Yeah.
And when I get there, the plane I flew was me, the Indian, Nick DeTuro. And I think it was one of the wrestlers. That was my first experience in a four-man plane, bro.
Yeah.
Never, ever have I been. I thought I was going to get sick.
Right.
I was really ashamed that, oh, my God, I'm going to get fucking sick in this fucking plane.
Well, you thought you were going to puke?
Yeah.
Does that happen to you a lot?
No, but when I was a kid on commuter flights, when we go to Puerto Rico, you land in San Juan and I take a little plane somewhere else.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Barfing everywhere.
Oh, okay.
Now, how many private planes have you been on?
That's a good. You know, maybe somewhere close to 8.
Damn!
I think.
And they have like a waitress up there with fucking.
It wasn't that
elaborate.
It wasn't that elaborate or luxurious, but you know, they offer you snacks and stuff. Yeah, now that you mention it, there was a cross-country flight, there was a, hey, do you want something to eat?
Yeah.
And they're making sandwiches and stuff. Yeah, you're right, Joey. Yeah.
Because my friend flies, and he goes that what they do is. It's not really that expensive. That sometimes if you there's somewhere that you go to,
they have a sign up by the Van Nuys Airport. I used to live up there. It's like something like $20,000 from here to New York. So if you're gonna, if like you have a big company where you're gonna pay first class for a bunch of like businessmen, it could be pretty worth it if you're gonna bring enough people.
Yeah, true.
$20,000 there and back. That means, listen, to get a first class ticket to New York. It's $2,000.
Right.
Yeah. So if you have 10
every
people,
time I look at New York, I just look at the cheap flights, but I look at $3,500 flights to Kennedy from LAX to walk into that special terminal. You know, American has like a special terminal that you walk into and they give you orange juice and they throw peanuts at you and they have a harmonica guy and the guy's barefoot and he's singing Natalie Portman songs and shit. You think I'm fucking kidding you? And then they take you up to a special elevator. A lot of people don't know that about American. That's how Joe Rogan flies.
Yeah.
He fucking, his plane got stuck about a month ago in Miami. There was hurricanes and shit, and he had to come home. That pimp rented a private plane.
Yeah.
So he went and got a steak at the best steakhouse in Miami. And they, him and the kids, he goes, the kids loved it.
Yeah, make the best of
it.
If you get stuck in Miami, just get a private plane.
Just get a kilo.
I always tell people this. Yeah, get some cocaine.
Get a fucking private plane and drive around in circles.
There's no there's no dog sniffing at the private plane.
I watched the 70s on CNN, and they were talking about all this shit. Did you watch that?
No.
They have a series of this. Now next is the 80s. Tom Hanks produces it. Very fucking strong.
It cuts
through the chase.
Right.
On the episode I watched of the 70s, they're talking about music and how the United States and England, and all of a sudden the guy goes, we just did a poll in England, and the Beatles are not the number one band.
Mm-hmm.
The number one band are, and the guys like fumbling, the Led Zeppelin, and all of a sudden, and they're just playing, and they're showing like a collage of all their music, and they go, by the time these guys landed in 1969, by 73, they had the same plane Nixon was touring in,
mm-hmm.
with a fireplace, a 20-foot bar, and something else in there. A fucking fireplace.
And a couple 14-year-old girls, let's face it. Oh, it was Led Zeppelin.
No, no, Jimmy Page was, he was a prick. That
They
just had someone on the internet months ago about people who were disgusting people that you'll never know. And the story about Jimmy Page was he kidnapped a 14-year-old and dragged her across the country, you know, had fucking pistol whipped her and shit. And
That's
crazy.
And these guys are famous for putting a big fish in somebody's vagina, too. You know that, right? Like a baby shark.
Or something, a baby shark. Listen.
Want a whole lot of love.
Listen, man, you know, in 1973, we did $2 billion in music ticket sales.
Wow.
That was Led Zeppelin, The Stones, The Who, you know, you name it. Everybody was on the road.
Right.
Elton John.
Right.
Elton John was killing it in 1973.
Yeah.
He was the Michael fucking Jackson of Jacksons.
Right.
He wrote the book. Everybody else followed his fucking lead in 73. Did you know?
Are people crazier now, or is it just with social media, it's more in our face?
What do you mean crazier?
Just like that sort of shit, like dragging a 14-year-old across the country, and now like the Jared Fogle thing happens. It's just like,
I'd say there might be more crazy back then. You weren't going to get caught.
Well, all right, here's the deal. For you to find out, unless 20 people got machine gunned in the fucking head at a concert the night before, you didn't know what happened until 3 days later.
Right.
Okay, so let's pretend Led Zeppelin played in New York on Monday, whatever. Today, there's camera people there, there's reporters there, and there's always one guy that doesn't get enough drugs or something that's going to go on this line and say, look, Jimmy Page is traveling with a 14-year-old fucking girl. You could do that now and get busted out.
Yeah.
Back then, nobody gave a fuck.
Right.
Even if they did know. Did you see Led Zeppelin's manager? Did you ever see The Song Remains the Same?
Yeah. I've seen this guy.
400 pounds.
Right.
He's cursing, calling people cunts in New York. You think I'm kidding you?
It's the best.
It's the best. It's the fucking best. When he finds out that, because what the mafia was doing was taking the Led Zeppelin shirts the night before and printing 1,000 of them. Like they'd send Lee, go to the concert in fucking Boston tonight and go get a t-shirt. This is how fast they worked in those days.
Oh,
and you
shit.
Went to Boston and got a t-shirt, okay? And then you came and you printed 1,000 of those fucking things.
They would just straight up copy the shirts?
Okay, so now all these shirts are copyrighted and the feds are and everything is beautiful. Only one thing. I'm the floor manager. So now he comes to me and says, listen, it's Led Zeppelin. I'm going to be there 5 nights. Let's put 2 guys a night in there. So what we do is we set up our own booth. Nobody knows nothing.
Right.
There's fucking, I don't know how many floors at Madison Square Garden. I don't know how many people selling shit. You just sell up your own fucking booth.
Right.
And they ain't going to catch you until somebody comes over and says, hey, let me see your license and registration. And you're going to go, hold on, it's right here. And put 100 in their hand, they're going to keep fucking walking in those days. So you just made, you know, and here's the beauty. They're not costing you $10. I'm selling them for $8. That word's going to get out.
Right.
By the time it gets out, because you're not going to drop your prices till Wednesday. In those days, Led Zeppelin did 5 nights in your fucking town.
Yeah.
I mean, that's how they stole. So he found out that they were setting up stands.
Yeah.
What the fuck is this shit? He went nuts. You know, there was a story that there was a guy in the Gambinos. This is the truth. That was on the board of directors of one of those chains in New York, Newbaum's or some off chain of supermarkets.
Okay.
But the guy's real gig was heroin.
Mm-hmm.
He moved heroin in big bulks. But his other gig for the mafia, how he kept tight with the mafia was, he knew the guy that put construction up. And one day he called him up and he goes, we have an idea. Go to each fucking supermarket and build the stand identical to the other checkout stands. That goes directly in our pocket. This guy went out.
Wait, what are you talking about? Like, just
they
go
set
into
up shop in the grocery store?
Set up shop in the grocery store, get their own stand.
With the conveyor belt?
Line number one, the whole fucking system. Thing. He had the guy on the contract. He put him in one of those in each supermarket, 12 supermarkets.
Yeah.
And everything that runs through that register in 12 supermarkets every day goes in the mafia's pocket.
And, like, the manager just didn't realize there was
they
suddenly
don't care.
A new
Nobody
computer?
Asks questions because it's union. I'll break your fucking skull.
You don't want to find out the answers.
You got three kids and you're getting 26 an hour plus you're stealing 300 a night. You don't think I know? Shut your... But there's a stand. What do we do with the fucking thing at the end of the night? Nothing. Leave it in the register. Leave the money in the register. We'll take the cash out. We'll leave 50 overnight.
A big mafia guy is the cashier?
It's fucking craziness.
Oh, my God.
No, they probably...
You find everything you were looking for.
No.
Paper, plastic.
They probably put a chick in there and charged the supermarket chain. They're not going to fucking pay nobody going in to click you out.
Oh, my God.
It's fucking... Good. Guys, you have no idea.
What year was this?
This is in the 70s.
Oh, jeez.
60s, late 60s.
Back when America was America. Back when you could still make your living your way.
Back when people made 15 an hour, so nobody was upset if you stole. Do you understand me? If you steal, that's your business. When you're paying me 8 an hour and I'm working double shifts and you're finding every way to rob from me, that's when you're fucking America. Right. When I was a kid, you made 12 bucks an hour, 15, 18,
is that right?
22, fuck yeah.
They lowered it?
And all of a sudden, they just lowered it. Well, minimum wage has always been minimum wage.
Yeah.
I'm talking about what a person wants to look you in the eye and pay you.
Gotcha.
Now, if I have a construction company, I have to pay workers comp. Right. Any of those things. So that's what people don't realize. If I'm paying you 15 an hour, I got to dip 15 an hour into workman's comp. That means I'm really paying you 30 an hour. That means you have to do $30 an hour worth of work. For me to make money, I gotta charge 55 for you.
Right.
You follow me? So when somebody comes to me and they want to hang fucking 10 lamps, I'll charge them my rate, 185, but I'll send you down there to hang the 10 lamps because you can do it. Don't take no fucking genius to hang. I used to hang lamps, these fucking things.
Yeah.
On a scaffold when I was 21 years old on 6 weeks of training. It's drilling, butterfly things, hang the fucking lights, zip them, connect the wires, and turn the fucking light on. Merry Christmas, cocksucker.
Having a little bit of a panic attack thinking about doing that on scaffolding right now?
No, it was just one. It was a low. It was like a garage. It was a low scaffold. I wasn't, trust me.
Oh, okay. I thought you were like climbing up skyscrapers.
Fuck you. I've never been a scaffold guy. After the second floor, fuck you.
Right.
I tried in 81.
You don't eat your lunch up top of the World Trade Center?
No. No.
On the beams?
No.
That shit makes me nervous just looking at it, to be honest with you.
Listen,
trying to get a lid off a thermos.
When I lived in Snowmass Village, they were building this fucking thing.
Soup on the Empire.
And it was like six fucking floors. And they had scaffold that went all the way around.
Mm-hmm.
Like they would do it in sections. So one day I went up there and I go, listen, man, can I get a job? And the guy's like, the only job I have is scaffold breakers and downers. And I go, fuck it. I go, listen, but I'm scared of heights. He goes, well, tell them. And just go up to the second floor and hand the stuff down.
Yeah.
Fuck you. Fuck you. I went up there. They had me on the third floor.
Yeah.
You know, putting the shit down, putting two pieces of wood, getting on top of the wood.
Yeah.
Then and up to the third floor. Now you're by yourself, really, on two pieces of wood. No way.
Find out who you are.
No way. I told that guy I got to go home for lunch and never came back. Usually I go back a week later and tell him I got sick and I need my paycheck. And
right.
They give me like 30 bucks. I didn't even go back and ask. I was scared looking at the fucking building.
Was he like, my guys eat their lunch on the scaffolding?
And you're
like,
fuck you. And then I had another buddy in that he was with me in Boulder, in Aspen, and he went back to Jersey. Because he knocked up his girlfriend, and he was in charge of the window washers at the World Trade Center.
Nope.
And they had the contract of all those buildings.
God damn, it's a lot of windows.
So he would work in three different... Bro, it's year-round. You're on a scaffold.
Yeah.
So all you do is go to the same scaffold, press a button, go to the eighth floor, and just wash windows all day till 12 o'clock. Bing, you go upstairs, you eat a sandwich. 1 o'clock, you go back, you do the other side. By the time you're done with one side, it's 6 months. You're just working on a fucking building.
So wait, you're not on like the moving up and down thing. You're on like actual scaffolding.
On washing the windows, you're on the scaffolding with the button that levels
raises.
You up.
Okay.
You up.
So now, it's not like actual pieces of wood with the metal.
No. Okay. But still, listen, after the third floor, I got no business being there unless I'm Batman. Unless I'm Batman or a pigeon. If you're not a pigeon, you don't believe it. You don't belong on the fourth floor higher. Fuck you. No, I don't like that walking around on heights. I always and I did it when I worked on a roof. Then I got a job.
Oh yeah, how do you do roofs then?
Because by the time those ladders are connected to the buildings, it's commercial roofing.
Okay.
So all you do is back your truck up, put like a ladder, Puerto Rican rig it up,
yeah,
and close your eyes and climb that one, and then go up the other three.
Close your eyes.
Yeah, because that's all you could do. Because if you fall off a fucking ladder,
you don't want to see it.
Oh, that's terrible.
Yeah.
Are you okay with like roller coasters? I like those, but I can't do like the heights thing by itself.
Let me ask you something. When was the last time I told you I was fucking sitting in traffic for 4 hours to go on a roller coaster?
You like roller people, is, if there's no traffic and love, you're next to a roller coaster, you'll go.
The dread of my
on.
Life. The dread of my life is having to take my daughter to Disneyland in a year.
It's coming up.
And be like all these people that wait online for 45 minutes per ride.
Just to get scared as fuck.
I'll go. I'll ride.
My daughter won't sit there. No, I don't know what kids do. I don't know what you do as a parent. What do you do? Give them cotton candy and hold them there? There's nothing you can do. I dread all that shit.
Well, is she tall enough to get on those? Like, don't bring her if she can't get on the big rides.
I don't know. Lee, what the fuck you think? I go to I haven't been in Disneyland. I'm 52. 45 fucking years. No, last time I went was 10. What the fuck do I have business?
Well, not even Disneyland, but like Six Flags or the good roller coasters. Like, that's like the fastest.
I don't know. I like this that. This week doesn't, like, listen. I like those roller. I like those Disneys and those other places because you know me. I'm a Cuban Jew. I'm always thinking of the bottom half. Something happens here, you're collecting a big paycheck, or you go on fucking Twitter and tell them how the thing broke. You go on 60 Minutes, whatever.
Yeah.
You fall at one of these Puerto Rican fucking carnivals. You deserve what you get. You're a fucking moron. If the pipe lands on your head and you're fucking retarded after that, you deserve it because I don't. There's one this week in North Hollywood Park. They're setting up right now. There's one this week.
They have them in my neighborhood
too. Those are different. Those are scary.
Oh, those are scary. You ever see the people that work in those things?
Yeah, they're called carnies and they're garbage.
Oh my God, those people.
That's the only time I ever got sick on a roller coaster.
I used to date a girl that said that she was on that. She was like, my ex-boyfriend is a carny. We lived together for 2 years. This was in Boulder. You could tell this girl had been in the hit in the head with a pipe like 4 times. She didn't shave her armpits, but she was fucking beautiful. But that's what she did for like 2 years. We quit college together. We've been in love and went to work for a carnival, slept on the floor, and other people watched us fuck. That's a great career, huh?
Jesus Christ.
Walking around with dirty feet and grease on your hands and shit.
It's disgusting. That's one of the few times I thought I was really going to die. I went on this thing called the Super Duper Looper. Because I was at the real, like, King's Dominion, which is like a Six Flags in Virginia.
Yeah.
And I could go on all this upside down shit. I fucking loved it. I wasn't scared of any roller coasters. So I go on the Super Duper Looper at the St. Mary's County Fair in Maryland. And there's these fucking meth heads are just holding it upside down.
That's what happened.
And there was no good seatbelts in it. Like, there were seatbelts, but they weren't really that good. Me and my brother thought we were going to fucking die. No joke. Because the windows were, like, open. Like, we thought we were just going to fucking die right there on that fucking farm field.
I got stuck on a Geronimo, and it did the same thing. Like, turned you upside down and then the other way. And I got it. That was the only time I ever puked.
Now, let's get something straight. I'm not Johnny Rotten. Before I left Jersey, I was always a great adventure down in by McGuire's Air Force Base down there.
Right.
Always. Twice a fucking month sometimes. 3 times in some. Me, the Undertaker, the Assemblyman, Veneri. I remember we double dated. Me, Veneri, Tizio, and she brought a girlfriend that had a mustache for Veneri. He almost had a heart attack. The whole drive, he kept looking at me. What do I do with the mustache? Nothing. Pick it up. When she's sucking your dick, don't call her Tony. What are you bothering me for?
I
used to love all that shit. And I went on rides.
Yeah.
But I was never the big roller coaster, the 3 in a tube spinning around.
I'm not anymore. After you get a certain age, it's like, what the fuck are you doing that for? You see enough BET comedy? You know you get made fun of if you're white, if you jump out of airplanes and shit. I'm not into that shit anymore. No. And also, I saw the people that work there, even though it's better than a carnival, it's still like, these guys don't give a fuck. I know, like, they still don't, like, check the seatbelt that hard or anything like that. I don't trust it. As I get older.
Like I said, the Puerto Rican carnivals, I'm not even going. The food's bad. Everything's bad.
Yeah.
That one, and no disrespect to Puerto Rican people. I'm just saying, you know. I'm just saying.
But your animals.
Food isn't that good.
I'm just kidding.
But the fucking, the good parks, I like the good parks. I just don't like the like in Jersey, for example, in October, they offered you deals because it was cold out. Only animals go to an amusement park when it's cold out. Me. Because you're just walking through fucking things. In those days, we get a bottle of booze, too.
Uh-huh.
Towards the end, though, before I left Jersey, 18, 19, we got a bottle of booze and go to Great Adventure.
Now you're talking.
A smoke a number, right there, Great Adventure.
The even greater time. Adventure.
Paul and I are going next weekend for
to
the
where?
Thing, like the L.A. Fair is coming.
Where is it at?
I have no idea.
You going to L.A. Fair?
For one day, wow, yeah.
This poor bastard. He gets talked into the weirdest fucking
thing. Your lady talked you into that?
He was reading the newspaper, and he saw it in there. And he thought to himself, let me go to the L.A. fucking fair
like
to
fun.
Be surrounded by fucking gang members yeah. and people selling rims no and shit. Shit. The fuck no is wrong shit. With you? Bail out of that right now.
More neck tattoos per capita than any
Are
fair
you
in the country.
Crazy? People selling pipes
you
and
think
BB
so?
Guns. Oh, I know
he so. Knows so.
What the fuck is wrong with you?
You just use your imagination for 1 second. Yes, that's exactly what it's going
to
be
like. A lot
like.
Of Dodger jerseys, yeah.
You tell Paula you're going to go to the fucking farmer's market in Studio City with white people. You're going to walk back and forth. You'll get her a watermelon juice. It'll be just like home. They got the hot dogs with the fucking bacon. They got nice pizza. You can buy a few apples.
The tickets are expensive. We got unlimited rides, I think, so we're excited.
You already bought them?
She bought them for her birthday.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Here's your birthday present. We're going to a real shitty place.
I know. Those fucking rides.
Where you're going to get robbed.
But you know what? That's good. You're Jewish. You could sue them. You wait 3 years in litigation to get paid. That's what you learn. See, if you fall off a ride in Great Adventure, you get 60 days before you start hooping and hollering that you're getting flashbacks to Vietnam that you thought, you know, you could start yelling and screaming on Twitter. You fall at that L.A. fair, they're going to throw 18 fucking attorneys at you, and then they don't have no money to pay you. So they got to pay you on the slow fucking hand. So.
I don't want to fall out of it.
Yeah, you do. You're gonna make a lot of money.
I'm just saying.
Lee, it's going to be the best thing that ever happened to you.
No one ever. I'm never going to get in a roller coaster with you now. You would definitely throw me off of a roller coaster.
Maybe.
For like 10%.
For 10%? Fuck, I'll throw your head fucking first. You know me, your family. I just give you a little push. What are you going to do? Break a shoulder? Maybe a foot? You get a brand new foot. Who's better than you? You can jump high.
You get that $6 billion foot.
That's right. When you got a new foot and $6 million in the bank, who's going to love you more than you?
And who's going
to
thank
you? Well, you wouldn't even tell me before. You'd be like, hey, we're going to
go. No, because then you'll tighten
day.
Up and break more bones. If I tell you, tighten up and break more bones.
You got to stay loose. You got to have a lot of edibles.
Stay loose,
you got to have a lot
like
of alcohol.
Drunk drivers. They always say drunk drivers always live because they're drunk. They're loose. The people they hit are always tightened up. They see the car coming.
See,
same thing, you're loose.
That's just a metaphor for life right
that's
there.
That's right, dog.
A drunk driving accident is just a metaphor
we'll get
for
we'll get
life.
Get you one of those blades like that dude that killed his girl from Australia. You'll be fucking Lee the Blade. Forget about it.
Lee the Blade Syat. Lee's been acting weird since he fell off that roller coaster.
Yes, but I only get one, or did I lose both legs?
No, just one. Why
We're talking about
two?
A foot. We're talking about a foot.
Can I have one spear and one regular foot?
You can do whatever
we
you
don't,
want.
We don't know.
You ever see Enter the Dragon? The guy had 1,000 different arms, right? He had a clad's claw. He had like a wolf's claw. He had knives. He had the thing with the ball. He could spin his arm around with a ball.
Yeah, that's going to be you, Lee.
That's
gonna
you.
Be
Once you get $6 million, you can do whatever you want.
Now you can fight Bruce Lee. Now you got skills.
You can do whatever the fuck you want with your little foot.
Yeah.
what about the carousel? Not the carousel. What's the big wheel?
The merry-go-round?
No, the loop-de-loop. Whatever
no,
the fuck
what's
it is.
The... They have the one in Santa Monica.
The Ferris wheel.
Yeah. Can we just fall off of that? That seems better.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, if that's what you really want.
Excuse me.
But that's going to be... You're going to see that coming. You're going to be nervous about it. If you're on a roller coaster and you get pushed off by Joey, it's going to come out of the blue. You don't know which roller coaster it's going to be. And then you're halfway to having a bionic foot.
How good does those legs look on that fucking steak?
Fucking fantastic.
Can you imagine right now being somewhere? But that's a fucked up steak.
There's a reason why they're dressing it up with eggs.
They got to take the bone out of the steak. But if you just have the steak without the bone, two eggs, some potatoes burnt, two pieces of nice wheat bread with heavy butter, some water, salt and pepper. Who's better than you?
Nobody.
Unfucking believable.
look at all those bags of coke right there, too.
I don't want that shit. That's the front of my house I grew up in. I just looked at that and saw that was that, and it just stunned me for a second. That's a fucked up place.
Where is that?
That's in North Bergen, New Jersey. There used to be a window here.
Yeah. You know that's where my family's from, right?
Where?
I don't know if North Bergen, but Bergen County.
Bergen County, which is still close by.
Yeah.
That's a fucked up looking door. That's not the original door, but what are you going to do? Lee Syatt, what do you got going on tonight?
Tonight, well, yes.
Where are you going tonight? You got bitches? What you?
I got nothing tonight.
You're not picking it up and giving it a sausage?
No, I got work tomorrow.
What work? What do you got to do tomorrow?
I'm trying to work more.
And you didn't go to jiu-jitsu today. They called me saying, where's Lee again? Embarrassing me.
I'm sick.
What's sick?
This is your last year with your real foot, and this is how you're treating this exercise class?
What sick are you? All of a sudden you're sick. Since when?
Since last...
I don't see no sniffles.
Okay.
You ain't sick.
You fuck. Oh, they got to call me and embarrass me and say Lee didn't show up. You know who.
You know, I don't think anybody called you.
You know who, cocksucker.
Lee, are you on drugs right now?
I know. What the hell?
Frankly, I'm insulted.
Why don't you take a piece of edible and calm down, huh?
Insulted about what? Oh, but then anyone would assume that I'm currently intoxicated.
Nah, you're okay. What are you doing this weekend?
What's happening?
What are you doing this weekend?
I have no idea. Nothing.
Nothing.
I have a consultation tomorrow night.
A consultation tomorrow night? What are you going to do?
Huh?
What kind of consultation?
He wants to start a podcast.
Okay, and then what do you got this weekend?
Nothing.
All right. I ain't mad at you.
What do you got?
I got to go to Austin with Rogan.
That's fun.
And Ian Edwards.
Remember when you got me high on the way to Austin?
No, I don't remember. I don't remember that conversation.
It was terrifying.
Why? What happened to you? What did you...
Because we had to take that bus to the...
Plane?
Plane.
And what happened to you? Who took care of you like me on the plane?
But then I was all the way in the back, and I was really worried.
Did you smoke or eat an edible?
I think we did both.
Sure.
At four in the morning.
That's the combo.
That's the early flight. I got to switch it to that because he's got me going at like 10.
Oh, that's too late.
That's too late. They got a 6 a.m. I could be there. I'll fucking go to sleep early Friday. Oh, yeah. There ain't shit going on tomorrow. Not so far. What's going on with you, Doug?
I'm going to Coeur d'Alene, Idaho this weekend. Saturday.
That's a good place.
Come back Sunday.
That's a ski resort.
Yeah, you know, I've never been there.
I've been there. Yeah. I did comedy there. Yeah. I mean, 20 years ago.
This is part of the Triple Run days?
No. There was an independent guy that booked rooms up in that part.
Okay.
You always had different people. Triple, I worked for Triple.
Me too.
Triple had the two Idaho runs. He had the Oregon run, you know, like Salem and Eugene.
Grand Bend.
Grants Pass, yeah. Where they do the Shakespeare Festival.
Right.
Astoria. And then they had the one that... Because they have two Vancouvers, Vancouver, Washington, and Vancouver, Oregon.
Right.
A lot of people don't know that. So he had two Red Lions.
Yeah.
Right across from each other that did comedy. He had the potato. Listen, man. If I ever see Triple again.
Yeah.
If you know anything about me, I'm always very thankful. I would give him a big fucking hug.
Right.
You know, I watched Gerard Carmichael's show, and this morning I got up and I called Tiffany Haddish. She was great.
Yeah.
I'm that type of person. I'm cheering for you. Remember the gay kid we were talking about when Jason was here the last week?
We saw the gay kid, Ian.
He called me. He said his friend heard this on the podcast, and he called me. He lives in New York now. He moved to New York to pursue comedy. I'm so fucking proud of him.
You should get him on the podcast when you're in New York.
He's in New York, but I'm not going to do a podcast in New York.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna
do it. You've always been a good guy, fucking getting on board with me for years, you know?
Listen, man, I was taken care of when I became a comic from fucking day one. Not taken care of, but I had people that told me, gave me direction, and said that joke was funny.
Right.
When somebody tells you that joke is funny,
that keeps you in for one more week.
You have no idea what that means to people.
Right.
And Lee, how many times have we get in the car and I go, that was fucking horrible? You and I have great discussions on the way home that we giggle. I don't think you fuck you. That was fucking terrible, you know.
Yeah.
But when somebody takes me somewhere, I want to suck their dick, whether it's a man or a woman.
Right, right.
When somebody takes me, at this point in my life, because you see all the smoke and mirrors.
Yeah.
When you do them, you see them.
Right.
So but when somebody takes you for a psychological ride, when I'm in the Comedy Store and I just smoked a joint on the way down with Lee.
Yeah.
And Lee's sitting next to me, and Lee doesn't know what I'm thinking. I don't know what Lee's thinking. We're just sitting next to each other.
Yeah.
And somebody's saying some, like, Papa a couple weeks ago took me on a ride. Tom Papa.
Yeah.
Dog, that's what I want to see.
Right.
When I go watch a movie...
Yeah.
I want you to take me on a ride.
Right.
Even if the movie blows and you won an Oscar, you should be taking me somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
That's why after I saw Mission Impossible, what's the first thing I said to you? I said, that dude from Jeremy...
Renner.
Yeah. He's a good actor, but he ain't no Oscar guy. You know why? Because I saw Mission Impossible Rogue Nation, and he didn't stand out. He did nothing. He played a fucking moutage. That's not an Academy Award winner. Go, what am I going to do? So even if this movie blows and goes down in flames, they'll remember me for something.
Right.
Something I do, they got to remember me for.
Yeah.
That's what a movie's about.
Mm-hmm.
Dennis Colangelo, 1981. It's not whether you win or lose, how many points you score. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
Fuck. Taking it back, Lisa.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's true. That's your opportunity to fucking do
that's
your
opportunity
thing.
To shine. So yeah. When I watch a movie, or I see I watch a TV show or a fucking Saturday Night Live, I'm watching it with an open mind.
Right.
I want to get entertained. So if I happen to bump into you, you bet your ass I'm going to pull you aside and say, listen, that shit you said on that show, because it's a TV line.
Yeah.
She was funny on it last night. The dude from...
David Allen Greer
was very funny. His wife was funny. Gerard Carmichael had moments.
Yeah.
I enjoyed the show. I see Gerard, and I was cheering for him.
Right.
When I saw it was coming on, I fucking sat up and cheered for him. I was like, you know what, man? This could be us.
Yeah, I know.
How can I cheer against them?
No, you can't, because they're your friends anyways. You know, we know these people. They're
comedy
good people.
Is tough enough.
Right.
When you walk around, there's two ways to walk around comedy. I bumped into somebody at the store the other night. I know him for 20 years doing comedy.
Uh-huh.
And he was eyeballing me, and I talked to him, and I opened my heart to him, and we're talking. And the first thing he says to me, he goes, let me ask you a question. How do you walk around knowing you don't have a TV show, and all these non-funny motherfuckers have a TV show? How come you don't walk around fucked up? And I go, why would I?
Right.
Think of all the opportunity that I've had thrown at me.
Because you know people that have TV shows.
Not even. Because how lucky are we to be Matt Fultron?
Oh, I know.
There's, I don't know how many comedians there are, Lee. Take a fucking stab at it.
Well, at least
how many comics are there, Lee?
500?
Okay.
I don't know.
You're the worst numbered Jew I ever met in my life.
There's 500 comics at the Comedy Store.
At the Comedy
tonight.
Store.
Are you serious?
Let's say 50,000 comics. What's the population?
There's 50,000 people.
Let's say there's 50,000 people. Let's just say, subjectively, in the United States, 100,000 comedians. We're in L.A.
Yeah.
This is the major leagues, okay? Everything else is triple-A ball. You got double-A ball. And I'm not putting down anybody's market. I'm just explaining to you, New York has great comedy to develop.
Yeah.
But to get the deals and to do all that shit, this is the major league of comedy.
Yeah, and everybody's competing.
If you
everybody's
don't believe
here.
Me, go on comedystore.com and look at the schedule tonight.
Yeah, no.
Look at the schedule from 9:30 to 12 to 11:30.
It's out of control.
It's out of fucking control. It competes with the Cellar, and that's it. Those two clubs are elite for that shit.
Yeah.
They probably got Louis C.K., Jim Norton, and my boy there, you know. Fucking, what's his name? The one that's married to Bonnie McFarlane.
Rich Voss.
Rich Voss, and, you know, that's the home to some fucking seasoned.
Colin Quinn,
you know, Jerry Seinfeld.
He'll be there some nights.
Comics that work on their shit that mm-hmm. take each word.
Chris Rock will roll
through. Chris Rock. So now you go to the con, that's the major leagues. They're pitching movies out of here. They're doing this out of here. God forbid you have a good set in front of the VP of some fucking movie company. You're here. How lucky are we?
Absolutely.
I get to wake up every morning and go, holy fuck, I got a spot tonight. You know, when I left the store, one of the reasons I left the store was because my dick wasn't getting hard anymore.
Mm-hmm.
It had become a chore.
Right.
And if it had become a chore while I was going to get blow and then do a spot, mm-hmm. could you imagine if I wasn't doing blow?
Yeah.
The store was going to become a... So I stopped going to the store. Not because I quit or because anything like that. I stopped going to the store because my dick... stop getting hard. And when you're at the Comedy Store, your dick can't be soft.
Right.
When you walk into the store, you're a fucking Marine.
Yeah.
You are the Marine of comics. You're the last sense of defense of comics. They come out of a fucking plane with parachutes and M16. That's Richard Pryor. That's Lily Tomlin.
Right.
That's the black chick with the dreads. That's Sam Kennison. That's Andrew Dice Clay. That's Jim Carrey, who was at the store last week, two nights.
No shit.
These are fucking people that were in my position there 25 years ago that I have to walk their shoes in a way. I had to go in there and start with 12:45 spots following Paul Mooney.
Yeah.
And you work yourself way down to fucking 11:45.
Right.
Then Rogan would call up and say, put Joey in front of me. I used to get 10:45 spots 10 years ago and go, I don't want to go down there. That sucks.
Why not? Because you didn't feel like being a trooper?
Listen, man, how many times have you walked into a place that they do comedy there and somebody comes up to you and says, you want to go out, Matt Fulton? And in your heart, you're like, no.
I'd say all the time.
Not really.
I'd say, like, I always...
Me too.
Yeah.
But there's certain places you go to that once you know it, that you stop losing that edge. You don't belong in there no
more. Right.
You just don't belong in there no more because I need a place to light me up. I need to walk in a place and go, Lisa, what's happening? As I'm hugging you, I got to hear Matt Fultron killing.
Right.
And then that goes into my ear, and it works itself up to my brain.
Right.
And then I go up to the bar, and I get a water, and I give the waitress a hello, and I talk to the bartender, how's it hanging? And all of a sudden, there's a schedule hanging on the refrigerator. And I look over to the refrigerator, and it's Neil whatever, Sebastian, Mark Maron, Joe Rogan, and Joe Diaz. Now, what you heard, the laughter mixed with what you see now, that sparks something. So you should be right there. I don't give a fuck who you are. I don't care if you're Charles Bronson doing stand-up. At that point, you should have a little bit of fear.
Mm-hmm.
Your body should just
you're gonna get
boom. Your body even shifts to the left a little bit just because your central nervous system goes, it's your chance to run right now.
Yeah.
You could run and say that fucking your cat died. No one would question you. Nobody will question you.
They put somebody else
and
up.
And that's right there.
Yeah.
That's when I need to go on stage.
Right.
That fear, that anxiety mixed with fear. Fucking Matt Fultron's in there. Fucking kill him. I can't wait to get up.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I finally have embraced the anxiety and the fear, too, and known that it's not something negative. It's something that's going to push you a little bit when you get up there. You know, I used to try to ignore it. Now I'm like, fuck it. As soon as like a minute is up there, all the extra energy is going to be gone, and I'll be in the zone.
How were you ignoring it before?
I would just try not to think about it, and I would try extra hard. I would like somehow, and I don't know how I did it. I still do it a little bit. Close off, or just slow my body down, slow myself down, so as not to have that nervous fucking energy. I would fight the nervous energy, I would ignore the nervous energy, and I would consciously just move slower. And it's a good tool. You know, you have to learn to relax during all these things. But then I learned that the anxiety, I've been doing it too long that the anxiety and the fear is not going to fuck me up. So then I can just let it in and just kind of, you know, have a little bit more energy up there. Like it lends itself to having more energy, more passion while you're up there. You know, you can embrace it. It's not going to fuck you up. After a certain point, it's not going to fuck you up to be nervous.
I was always a Dr. Doolittle dumb fuck on stage. And then what happened one night was...
What does that mean?
Like, I was just a dumb fuck. Like, I didn't have an identity. At this point, I had been doing...
Dr. Doolittle dumb fuck.
I had been doing comedy like 6 years. I had no identity. I was a cross between Dice and something else. And
yeah.
I didn't really know where I was at. I know a lot of young comics listen to this, and I'm telling you this, man. I was in it 6 years, and I didn't know who the fuck I was on stage.
Uh-huh.
And I used to date this fucking stripper, let me light a pussy on fire. This was 20 fucking years ago. I still talk to her. Uh-huh. She just posted a picture on Facebook, and I wrote something. She's crazy. This girl was just crazy. So she would get back with me on a Friday when I had like $800. Uh-huh. That I scammed from that gambler that I was sitting on his fake bets.
Right.
And she would hang out with me till Monday, till I was down to $30, and then tell me how some guy invited her to a dance and she wanted to go, and did I mind? What do you mean I mind? I'm fucking dating you.
Right. And
she's like, I'll be home at 6, nothing's gonna happen. You're a fucking whore. You're a full-time whore. Right. You give hand jobs at a strip club, you know?
Are you gonna let him light your pussy on fire,
too? And I'm
like,
are you fucking crazy? And she'd say, well, if you don't like it, you can leave. So one night I packed my stuff. I had Josh Wolf pick me up.
Yeah.
And I went up to the club. And this is when I found out about what this was, you know? And
mm-hmm.
I'm sitting there on the side feeling like a fucking putz about myself. You know? Like, what the fuck am I doing with my life with this fucking piglet? And,
right.
You know, I'm crazy. All I care about is stand-up at the time. And my daughter, who at the time was maybe 6. And I'm not doing good with the stand-up. And all of a sudden, I'm coming to the stage. And I was like number 9 on the list. I had moved up. At the Seattle Underground, they start you at Carl Warmenhoven would start you at like number 1 or number 2 spot. And as well as you did, you'd move up. I was there like a month and a half, and I was up to 9. There was only 15 contestants.
Yeah.
Your goal was to be from 12 and up. That means you're one of the headliners in the show, and you could tell people, you know, I'm headlining the open mic.
Right.
I don't know if you know that, ladies. You know I'm headlining.
That's when panties drop.
Shit. It's all over.
Yeah, it's when you got that bionic dick. Fuck a leg.
And I had some fucking Momo material I was going to go up on stage with.
Yeah.
And something made me fucking go up there and just talk about my day. I dated a stripper. You know, everything was going great. We were in love. Everything was going great. Mm-hmm. Then I ran out of dollar bills. You know, I just started fucking, and I was angry. Like, I got no place to live. And somebody gave me the tape. And like a week later, I hated watching my tapes. I watched the tapes, and I'm like, that's it.
Yeah, right.
That's who I am. I got to go up there and not talk about that dumb shit I'm talking about. I got to talk about what the fuck is bothering me.
Yeah.
Tell the audience, and that's how you make it funny.
Right.
And I got glimpses of it over the months. Like, I wouldn't do it for a month, and then I would do it, and then I wouldn't do it for a month. Then I'd do it twice a month, and I'd be, all right, I'm on to something,
you
know?
Yeah, yeah.
But the fear, if I don't get that fear, this blows.
It's a different show then, huh?
It's a different show.
Yeah.
And Lee's been with me where I'll tell him. It was okay. I got them laughing.
Right.
They're happy.
No, I've seen that. I've seen you go up there and do very well and then get off like, that wasn't for me. I was doing,
that wasn't for me.
You're like, I was doing old
jokes.
But
there's a style that I have that I really like. There's some nights you got 80 people. It's a 200-seat room. They're cool as fuck.
Yeah.
You just go up there and start talking. It's like a... It's like that type of rhythm.
Yeah.
You know, because comedy is really a rhythm in a lot of ways.
Well, yeah.
To really kill, if you look at your set, you're working in a rhythm.
There's no doubt about it.
And then you stop, let them breathe. You're at the end of your 10-minute cycle when the elliptical goes beep, 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 beep. Now we're going to kick it up to 75%.
Yeah.
Now you go in there slowly again, and it becomes a rhythm again. You give, they give.
It's
you
music.
Give a, yeah, it's music.
It's music, man. You can read most people's jokes off of paper, and it's just really not that
funny. I don't like that.
It might be humorous.
I don't even like writing,
but you got to see the way people
sell that motherfucker.
Yeah,
and how it
and dance
flows
around
through them.
It, you know?
Yeah, how it flows through them. How it's weird. I love when somebody acts out a joke. Dane for a while had that, you know, but God knows.
Is it hard, if you start off poorly in a set, is it really hard to get it back? Because especially with like the 15-minute sets, if I see somebody really start off poorly, it seems like they have bad sets. But especially with you, when you start off really well, you can go for 15 minutes and not stop.
Now I can't. But 15 years ago when I got to the store, those 20-minute spots, I'd come out gangbusters till about 9 minutes. And at the 9-minute mark, it'd be the longest 11 minutes of your fucking life because you don't know how to balance it.
Right.
To have that style, you're not even worried about what's coming out of your mouth. You're worried what's coming out of your mouth on the 16th minute.
Yeah.
There's a lot of comedians at clubs that go, oh, this guy was here last week. He's good for 20 minutes, and then the show takes a fucking horrible dive. By the time they're paying their tab, they pay double to get the fuck out of here.
Right.
Because he takes you for a psychological ride for 22, 25 minutes. So now you have to learn how to become a headliner.
Right.
That's
a huge muscle to exercise.
That's a huge muscle.
That's the ultimate final position.
And every comic hits 40 minutes, and they're a headline. And I giggle. You've been doing comedy how long? 6 years. He's headlining me already. Okay. And I just sit there because I know.
Yeah.
I know that you have to put work in. I know that it's eight fucking good years, and that's if you do 30 sets a fucking month.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And you bang. And even then, you're not a headliner.
Right.
Once you start getting paid that dough and you get into that flow and you know how to build the set, how to come back. You want me to tell you something? That's why I love jiu-jitsu. And I didn't know till now. It's all the same. Okay. When you're fighting me, Lee.
Let's do an act out right now.
I could throw two punches at you. And I connect with two punches, and I can break your nose. Your job for the rest of the 2 minutes is to avoid me and get your composure back and get your head thinking you're still in this.
Right.
Okay, that's your composure. So now you got your front foot, you got your hands up, you're breathing. Your nose is busted. You don't want to breathe through that because that'll clog up. So you got to breathe through your mouth. But you got to stay survived for 2 minutes to go back to that corner, have them fix your nose. That's the mindset of a winner or a loser.
Right.
A guy like me gets punched in the face. I'm out of there. I'm tapping out. This is over. There's no more punches that need to be thrown in this match. It's over, okay? I got my nose broken. How you come back from that?
Yeah.
Listen, you're at a 3-minute mark of a routine. It's not working for you.
Right.
It's not working for you. My face is as red as this shirt.
Right.
Okay? Your face is as red as that shirt. You got a fucking quick decision, and it's not about the joke that's going to come out next. It's about how you're going to get your composure back and start from square one where you were supposed to start.
Yeah.
It's like telemarketing. They give you a pitch. When you use that pitch, you'll sell whatever the fuck they're selling. Mm-hmm. I'm selling flying saucers from Bolivia. Really? If that pitch is good and you read it effectively,
right.
It's when you start improvising.
Yeah.
But then, yeah, they want you to improvise it, but they want you to center yourself in that script.
Right.
A lot of, like, when I first started doing comedy, I learned as an improviser. It was a 50-50 shot. No. You have no idea. People write jokes. I didn't write dick.
Right.
I would get one tag for a show and think I was Johnny fucking Rotten.
Right.
That I was going to go up there and riff for 20 minutes. Some nights it worked.
Yeah.
But most of the nights it didn't. But I stuck with that for my first three years of comedy. So I always had that to fall up on. If my material's not working and the story doesn't work, I'll fucking riff off your ass.
You got to.
You really got a problem.
There's only one decision.
I'll start talking about eating pussy and sticking fingers in your ears and all that shit. And I'll grab you. And once I grab you, now I go back to my step one.
Right.
To whatever I wanted to tell you from the fucking originator.
Right.
So you're reselling that joke. Hey, you did that joke already. Not like this, motherfucker. You follow me? It's jujitsu. Even though he passes your guard, if you could slip your leg back in there, boom, put him back in your guard and take a deep breath and hold him for 2 minutes. Now I got this motherfucker. He's not going to punch me. He's not going to pass my guard. And now I'm centralized. I have a plan. I'm going to put my knee up and get to the side, and I'm going to go to work. And that's what took me years to understand. Once I got folded in the four-minute mark, I died after that.
Right.
A couple weeks ago. I get to the store. I'm a little fucking high. You know me, dog. I tell you how it is.
Yeah.
Fucking Joe Rogan goes up in front of me and lays a beating on those people.
Right.
Now, I'm good psychologically like that, but I could be myself. But that happened to me. I went up there and went... I went gangbusters for 9 minutes, but I couldn't take the taste of Joe Rogan out of that mouth.
Right, sure.
I started throwing some left jabs at him.
Yeah.
The show went fucking kaput.
Oh, yeah?
I went up back to Laurel Canyon that day. Was I depressed? I was a little upset with myself.
Yeah.
Because I let the heat get to my head.
Right.
The lights, I let the heat, and it threw me off my game. It's
going
to happen. But guess what? At the 20-year mark that I've been doing comedy, it can't happen. And I made a decision that night. It's not going to happen again.
Right.
And you go up there and you look straight and you focus and you believe in your material. And sometimes it's not going to work. And now you have to take it back to square one.
Yeah.
You rest, take a breath, rest your legs, and take them to the guide again. Even if you had to break the fucking joke down. Listen, when I said that joke before and you guys didn't laugh, let me break this down to them. They'll go, look at this motherfucker bringing this back. But that's what your goal was, to open them up. Once I open you up, once I fucking throw that hook on your right side, and I cut that eyebrow. Guess what? You see blood in your eye. What is your natural instinct gonna do?
I'm paying attention to you.
You're gonna pop that fucking elbow up to block that eye.
Yeah.
But you're gonna leave me a 4-inch opening that if I could get to, I'm gonna kick that liver or whatever the fuck is on that side 4 times.
Yeah.
With comedy, you're always looking for an opening.
Absolutely.
You're no different than a fucking fighter. You're no different than a jiu-jitsu guy. You're on your back, I'm on top of you. You've got me under control.
Yeah.
Now you're going to twist and go for a leg. Whatever the fuck these dudes. I'm not talking about me, people, hypothetically. I'm just thinking about how I think about everything now.
Yeah.
I know I got to get back to a center point. I'm giving you motherfuckers of the comics free information there.
Yeah, pay attention.
It took me 15 fucking years to get there.
Right.
Just go back to the center. It's like yoga. You go back to the center in yoga. You do your exercises, then you do those things, sun salutation, and you breathe, and you go back. Then you attack again, but you're always going back to that. You ever see a comic that does a callback, and he does it brilliantly?
Yeah.
Todd Jordan, one of the most brilliant comics I used to work, used to take you on a fucking comedy ride, and every 8 minutes, he'd look at you, and he'd go, excuse me, does it hurt yet? Oh, my God. Oh, my God. And he'd blast you for 8 minutes, and he'd go, does it hurt? Yeah. And he'd do something with his fucking stomach and his hand that you would die. And then at the end, he had to close it to, does that hurt yet? That's a headliner, guys.
Right.
That's a headliner.
That's a
when
show.
You see that, you're like, oh, shit. Anyway, what the fuck what do I know? I'm just a fat fuck that's struggling like everybody else. You're the youth of this fucking comedy.
I don't know that.
Like, you're the soldiers right now. You're the foot soldier. You're out there.
I'm doing it, man. I'm doing
How
goddamn
long have you been
stand-up.
Doing it for
I started doing open mics 17 years ago.
Jesus Christ. Yeah. And you feel it up there. You feel what I'm talking about.
I feel it very recently that I actually trust myself, and only very recently. And I know I'm nowhere near the level I'm going to be one day. I still feel like a student.
You're always a student in this. But you're always a student right now, even in life. You always learn something every day. I didn't know that shit. I didn't know that you cut people off. What, Lee? What, Cosby?
What do you got,
you
Lee?
You want another edible?
No, no, I don't.
Okay. I'll have one anyway.
You want another piece?
You always hear comics say, like...
We're going to go to food trucks. Have another piece. I don't want you to go there and say, John, I'm not high enough.
You're not high.
You're not high. Because you're just making your eyes all fucking Chinese doubt and shit. The fucking...
So, yeah. You always hear comics saying, like, they don't think about money when they get into, like, stand-up comedy, but... How can they not? Like, if you're going to do it for 15 years...
It's a thing where, like, you just do it. You're driven to do it. There's nothing rational about being an artist. You got to fucking... It's an uncontrollable urge that you have to face. It's not a business decision. That's for fucking sure.
But isn't there, like, the hope? Like,
yeah.
Isn't that what... Like, that's what... It's always weird. Like, they always say... But then they're always getting, like, TV shows and making tons of money.
What's the question?
Like,
the fuck are you talking about? Man?
Most people have an irrational urge to do it, and the results. The Buddhist way to go through life is that results are secondary, and that's really how you have to approach it. You can be business minded and look out for opportunities, but I mean, if you're into money, you should get into like something else.
Well, that's what I said. Like, I was talking to a kid at the store the other day. Oh, I found, look at that. I thought of his name. I grew up with a kid. Played basketball against him at CYO basketball. Played basketball against him in 8th grade basketball. Mm-hmm. You know, we played in the school league. Right. And then, okay. Graduated, left New York. I went and did prison. Whatever the fuck I did, I got into comedy. 10 years ago, I'm at the Laugh Factory. Latino night, I come off the stage on a Monday night, and the kid goes, you remember me? My name is Ba Ba Ba. Fuck yeah, I remember you. You play for Washington School, and you play for... Nice kid. But after a month of talking to him, I'm like, so what do you do? Well, I do stand-up. But where did you start in Jersey? No, I started out here after college, and... He was looking for a payday.
Oh, you know,
the last
time I spoke to
him was maybe 3 years ago. This went on for like 7 years that he tormented me. In fact, he did do a movie with Stephen Bauer and Rogan and the girl from My Name is Earl.
Yeah.
You know, Rogan's manager took him for... If the movie was a $3 million budget, I guarantee they gave Rogan $2.5 million, knowing his manager. He just ate them up alive and left them sore. I don't think the movie got released. The movie just went on video. Went on video maybe 8 years after the movie was shot.
Yeah.
She wasn't even on My Name is Earl.
Right.
He was one of the producers on it. I don't know what happened. After that, him and his wife got into a beef, and he was writing. Then he wanted to do a New Jersey tour. Me and two other morons that I didn't want to be involved. And I was like, nah.
Yeah.
And then the other guy dropped out, and then he did it by himself. Like, he went to a couple bars and did it by himself.
Oh, man.
And I heard from sources it was a horror show. Why? Because he didn't respect this. He thought that he was going to walk in and make $10 million and be like everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
And then the last thing he called me for was some movie he was making... about some guy, El Cholo or something like that. And I go, how much it pay? Oh, it doesn't pay nothing, but we'll take care of you in the back end. Listen, if I know you, there ain't no back end. The point being, Lee, how old are you when you fell in love the first time?
I don't know. I don't know, probably like 18, but I was going to say now.
The first time you fell in love, did you sleep with her?
Yeah.
Okay, how long did it take you to sleep with her? Don't cry.
I'm not crying. What?
Sounds like you're crying.
I want to take you to sleep, by the way.
Oh, a while.
Okay.
2 years.
A couple of years?
Yeah.
Now, between you and I and his family, did you yearn it?
Yeah.
You'd do anything to fucking sleep with her?
Yeah.
Anything. Fucking anything. There were nights that you were making out with her and your dick was so hard, your heart was beating, your head was hot, you couldn't fucking think. You'd sell your soul to fuck her, and she didn't fuck you. When I was in the sixth grade, I fell in love with somebody that didn't fuck me at all. But I would do anything to be with her. That's how I knew I loved comedy.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as I talked to somebody, hey, Joey, how you doing? My name is fucking Lee. I just started comedy. Any advice? You know, if their third question how long does it take me before I make money? They're not going to last in this game. They're not going to last in this game. I'm telling you this from fucking hearing it 50 times and going, you still do stand-up? Nah, I'm a producer now. You're a fucking idiot.
Right.
You work at a hamburger store,
right.
You know, because this takes work. This takes patience. It's like anything else. It takes work. It takes patience. And it takes getting up every morning and doing it again. I compare it to falling in love with a woman that has your favorite body, that you love her from your feet to her fucking head. When you look at this woman, you'll do anything to crawl in her and suck her pussy from the inside out.
Right.
That's love. That's
yeah.
when you want somebody. When you want to suck her toes and rub her ass and you'll light cigarettes for her. And you don't care if she spits on you or whips you or pisses on you.
Right.
You'll do anything to have her fucking love.
Yeah.
You relate to this, man?
Well, yeah, it's the same thing.
I can't describe it to you.
It's in you and you're drawn to it for no rational reason. You're just going to go there. It's like nature. You're just going to go to that place and that's... That's the only way comedians can survive.
My life was fucked up. My life was fucked up in more ways than one. Never mind the felonies. Never mind the blow. Never mind the fucking confusion. Something was not right. This fucking job shit. Fucking taking shit from people in the daytime. Working all week to have 2 days off like a fucking moron. Something didn't ring right with me. And I had the world by the balls. And I went and I watched that stupid fucking Punchline movie.
Uh-huh.
And I fucking called comedy clubs the next day. I wanted information, the Yellow Pages, and looked up all the comedy clubs. And I asked them about New Talent Night, or do you do one? No, fuck you. We don't do that shit here. And they hang up on you. And the Comedy Works finally did it. And this was January.
Yeah.
It took me 6 months before I fucking got on stage.
Yeah.
Okay, from the fucking fear that I had. But one day I went to get coffee for the boys. It snowed. And I said, you know what? Let me go over there. I got to get green chili and some eggs for everybody. I'll get some coffees. And there was a Rocky Mountain News, and I opened it up, and there was a comedian in the middle, and he goes, do you want to be a stand-up comic? And they were talking about the resurgence, what's her name, just became a star out of Denver, and blah, 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 and all of a sudden, comics are flocking down there, and I didn't know what to do, but I said, you could take a course for $37. $37. I was spending 50 on a half a gram of blow. $37,
right.
I mean, at least give it a fucking try.
Yeah.
And just talking to the guy 3 weeks, asking him questions. And at the end, he made us get on stage. And I remember getting up there and doing a stupid joke about fucking Godzilla. And on the end, he goes, listen, man, this might be for you. These are the words I wanted to hear, in a way. In
right.
a way, I didn't. I wanted him to go, you suck, and then I never had to think about this again.
Yeah, right.
But he's like, this is something for you. Have you ever worked as a doorman? He goes, what if I get you a job as a club? And I go, okay. And he goes, go do paperwork, and I'll call him tonight. And sure enough, he came through for me. And I watched, and it was okay, and I would ask stupid questions. And this shit about living on the road and they only pay you $400 a week. All week?
Yeah.
What? And gas? How the fuck? And, you know, and all of a sudden, that all changed the day I got on stage. I remember going on stage having money in the bank, being on federal probation, having a wife, having a baby. But after I left that stage, all bets were off.
Yeah.
I didn't give a fuck about nothing, Lee. I had found what I wanted to do, or at least try.
Yeah.
And I knew that if I got involved in it, that this was it. I had to go for broke.
I remember the ride home from the first time I did comedy, and
you know.
I go, wow, I think I could really do this, because I got some laughs. But then the other side of me said, but it's going to take a lot of fucking work. That's exactly what I told myself. I was 23 years old, and I knew that. It was very obvious that it was going to take a lot of work to get to be good at it. Because I got laughs, but I was not good.
No, me neither. I had stage presence.
Yeah, right.
I had stage presence. And I remember this was two things. Like, I had credit cards, I had no wife, no child. And it was like, when I came home that October and she told me she didn't want to be married anymore, that we should take a separation, I can't tell you how happy I was, except for the kid leaving me.
Yeah.
I can't tell you how happy I was, because I knew I was getting a second chance to do this, because I knew you couldn't do this in the beginning with a wife or a girlfriend. The first 2-3 years of this, you don't need somebody telling you you're a loser and you're never going to make money.
Well, it's not practical.
Yeah, you
years.
Already know it.
Yeah.
And you know what? After a year, one day you look at your boss and you're like, I'm not doing this no more.
Right.
I don't care what you pay me. You know why? I'd rather be broke than do this. I'm going to go for it.
Yeah.
there's a day that your mind clicks and says, I'm losing my day job. Fuck the insurance. Fuck dental. I'm going for this. I'm going to be a star and all these are going to suck my dick. And part of you is delusional, but part of you, that's the mindset that you need.
Yeah.
That's the mindset that you need. I'm not worried about the $8,000 for that fucking car. Someday I'm going to buy 10 of those. That's the mindset that you need in many ways. I mean,
yeah.
Once you come to the conclusion it's not going to happen as fast as you think. And what am I talking about? Not being a millionaire, but having people giving you work every week. Because you talk to comics and like, I work all the time.
Yeah.
Do you? You what? Yeah, I work every week, man. Every weekend I got something. What do you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, next time I'm off is next June. It's fucking October. And you're like, you could work that much? And they're like, yeah. And then I wouldn't even ask them what they made. As right. long as I knew there was an end to this getting up in the morning and getting yelled at and taking a bus and carrying fucking tools and, you know, yes, sir. Oh, yes, he's brilliant. I can fuck you.
Yeah.
The fucking drunk. I don't give a fuck about him. What does he know how to do? The fuck, he know better than me. So that's it. Once it's about money, you're doomed. Because the money, I mean, listen, the first reason I didn't join the Army was because of the needle.
Yeah.
The blood test. But the second reason, because when you're 19 and somebody says 4 years,
that's a good chunk of your life at that point.
Listen, half of these people go to college because it's 4 years. Because deep down inside, you go, I got 4 years to fucking figure out what the fuck I'm going to do.
Absolutely true.
I got 4 years to flunk out and mom stopped paying me. I got to figure out I could learn how to sell weed. But you look at 4 years when you're 19 or 20. 4 years is not attractive for a lot of people.
Yeah.
When you're 19 and 20 and you want to get your dick sucked and go to clubs and drink VIP booze and smoke blunts at $55 a piece.
Right.
You know, it's tough to fucking tell somebody 4 fucking years and, oh, yeah, you got to go to bed at 9. We wake up at 5 and you have to pick me up at 6. 4 years of this shit.
Yeah, no, that never sounded good to me.
Fuck you. But then 4 years go by and you're 24 and you still got nothing. You go, you see, I could have fucking done this.
Yeah.
And then I got the major fucking call. When I got in trouble, my first deal was 9 years. And there was they wanted me to plead guilty to 9 years and kidnapping too.
Right.
Which that means I'm doing 9 years. I'm going in at 27 and I'm coming out of that motherfucker at 36 years old.
Right.
That's a long time. So when I got into comedy at 31, I go, what's the difference? I was going to be dead till I was 36 anyway.
Yeah.
When I got into comedy, I did comedy the right way. I had no credit left.
Yeah.
I had every fucking creditor chasing me in the
That's
country.
Where stand-up got me for a while.
That's but. Where it gets you. I had every creditor in the country calling me.
Yeah.
And then they would switch numbers on me. They'd call China and call me long distance from China. I thought it was HBO China. Hello. Diaz here. Hi, Joey. It's fucking Pete from American Express.
Hello, Pete.
Hey, buddy. Did you put that check in the mail yet you were talking about? Post-date the check, will you? The first time I realized I was in trouble was when I walked into an open mic and the bartender goes, some guy just called here for you.
Oh, shit.
And I'm like, really? And I'm like, oh, shit. I made this bitch.
I've had people call my family before because there ain't a lot of full Sharons out there. Talk about embarrassing, man. You know?
And they'll call your house and go, do you know Matt?
Call my folks' house.
These motherfuckers.
Yeah. It's fucked up.
About fucking 7 years ago, which would put us at 208, I booked 2 national commercials. I booked 3 commercials in 3 weeks.
Nice.
I booked Sprint, Carl's Jr., and one of those cable companies.
Uh-huh.
I did the cable company first. I did Carl's Jr., and then I did Sprint. It was an Italian family commercial.
Right.
About 6 months earlier, I go to a dentist, and he goes, you need a root canal, and I can't do it. Just do me a favor, walk 3 blocks, and he's going to do it. He's waiting for you right now. He's great. He'll put the root canal in there. I trust the dentist. I go over the root canal, pay the fucking copay. He goes, we'll bill you. I never get a bill. I call down, and the guy goes, no, we billed your insurance. You're fine. All of a sudden, I'm on the Sprint commercial, and the phone rings. Hi, this is Pete from Associated Collectors. We're collecting. I go, what are you talking about? He goes, the dentist sent the $98 bill to collection. I go, what are you talking about? I just hung up on him, called my wife. I'm like, this dumb fuck. When my wife called, they sent the bill to the wrong fucking address. They didn't know that they had two different Jose Diaz.
Right.
So you sent me the fucking collection. You didn't even call me and ask me for 98 fucking dollars. Oh, my God. I was so embarrassed on a fucking set.
Yeah.
No, hey, listen, comedy takes you to some weird places. It's how you respond to it. I was sleeping on a towel in Seattle. What was I? 32 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Sleeping in an office at a quarter of the size of this with a towel against the wall. There was no couch, no nothing. There was a table with a phone on it. And I would sleep under the table for fucking, like, heat. And I had a blanket, a bear blanket, and I had a pillow.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a fucking bathroom at the end of the hallway that was just a pisser if I wanted to shit. I had to shit outside the window, walk two blocks to the gym.
Right.
That's what comedy did. That's what, when you love something that much and you want to be that, it was all I had, Lee. I had to love it. I had to risk everything. I didn't give a fuck.
So,
I'm going for this.
So no, we don't recommend it. We don't have to recommend it. If you want to do it, you'll do it.
I recommend you get into stand-up comedy, but I also recommend that before you jump in, you know you're going to jump in. And you're going to have an adventure. And you're going to write a book afterward.
Yeah.
Because you're going to meet crazy people. And if you do it the right way and go on the road and ride buses and sleep on floors, if you do it the right way, at the end you sit back and one day you just look up in the air and go, this is great.
There's a couple times a week right now where I go, this is an amazing life I live. I just sit there as it's happening and I say, this is fucking amazing. Even the bad shit to a certain degree. Because it is an adventure. So many people just like stay in the house with the family, never take a chance in their whole life. And I don't know, I guess they're okay with it. But I kind of like that there's like these huge moments and it's exciting. I just got that kind of personality, I think. I think you have to have that kind of personality.
I'm cleaning out the closet. And my wife goes, what's this box? I thought it was sleep apnea supplies. It was old notebooks.
Yeah.
But it was more old sides from movies I had read for.
Mm-hmm.
And the first movie on top was Be Cool. And for some reason, I looked at it and I go, I didn't get this movie. But I go, what the fuck happened that day? Because one minute I'm in there reading with Susan Jaffe, and the next minute Travolta walks in there with Danny DeVito. You understand me? When you hear a knock on the door at a casting office, and all of a sudden the girl goes, oh my God. Oh, my God. I'm so sorry, Mr. Travolta. I'm so sorry. And I'm sitting in the other room with the casting person.
Right.
And she goes, hold on one second. I think John has arrived. And they open the door, and it's John Travolta with Danny DeVito. And I'm thinking to myself, oh, my God. If these motherfucking dummies only knew I went to prison.
Right.
And I robbed that fucking ice cream truck when I was 16.
Yeah.
But how lucky was I? And I remember looking at the side 2-3 days ago and giggling to myself.
Right.
How lucky was I on that read?
Yeah.
I don't remember. Oh, I read that when I was sitting in the hallway. It was an early morning read. And there were two people in the hallway. It was a guy that used to hang out. You don't know Luca Palenka.
I do.
All right. Luca Palenka used to hang out with an actor for years. Big time. Good looking dude from the Bronx.
Mm-hmm.
He was sitting there that morning, fucked up the night before. I swear to God, sleeping.
Yeah.
Sleeping at the audition. And the guy who got the part was sitting there. And he had been on that show in the 70s that was very, or in the 80s, that was very popular on CBS. It was a woman's show. And he played the landlord. And he was fucking badass. That morning, he was cool as shit to me.
Yeah.
And then I didn't book that, but I booked another movie, and he was my partner in the movie.
Yeah.
And then he died before Be Cool got released.
Mm.
So if you watch Be Cool, at the end, it always says in dedication to such and such.
In memory of,
yeah, it's pretty fucking cool. What's up, Lee?
How you doing over there, man?
Not much. I'm doing good. Not really following. I don't know what you're talking about.
You're not paying attention.
No, I was.
No, I feel. I tell my wife every day that we're very lucky. I'm very lucky. I'm very lucky she doesn't have to work.
Yeah.
I'm very lucky that, you know, we're not big spenders or anything.
Right.
We live very frugally, but we'll live here.
Yeah.
You know, I live today. The sun was gorgeous. It's 8 in the morning. I had to walk the baby to school, and I'm like, right now, I could have been doing so many things. Yeah, I wanted to be a salesman, and I wanted to work as a stockbroker, and I wanted to lay brick. you know, growing up. I wanted to do all those things, but in a way, I didn't want to have a day job.
Right.
I always wanted to lay brick, but let me show up at 2.
Yeah, you want your own business.
2 to 5. Let me do the footsteps or a fireplace or something.
Right.
But to do that, you have to work with somebody because they have to teach you how to do it. And today, they have the unions. They won't teach you unless you're an apprentice. And then you also have, like, just small companies, and they pass that down from generation to generation. But now, since white people do not want to apprentice and carry buckets of water, it stops right there because the Mexicans don't want to learn how to lay brick. Maybe one of the three, you know what I'm saying?
What happened to white people? We used to work.
I think
white people got lazy.
Well, somewhere they said, why go for those jobs if I'm going to have to lose it for a Mexican? I can't work as hard as a Mexican, which is like a tap out.
Yeah.
It's like going, I can't, you know, I'm not as good as a baseball player as he is, so I'm not going to go down there and swing the fucking bat. Or I'm not as good as a,
right.
you know. When these white guys go in the NBA and they got to go up against 6'4" black people, what the fuck are they thinking?
Right.
They're thinking there's going to be a cakewalk, I'm going to jump over fucking Doc Afro. No.
Yeah.
So people tap out. That's one, you know, they go, well, Mexicans do it for $8 an hour. Think of the fucking balls they have then.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what used to happen with me coming up to you and going, Matt, how you doing, Joey Diaz? Listen, man, I want to be a hard carry. And you're like, Joey, you're white. It's not going to work out for you. And I'm like, really? What are you paying these guys? Let me do 2 days for free. If I'm not good, you throw me out of my ass. If
right.
I'm good, pay me the $8 and give me a job at $8 an hour. But after a month, you'll give me $12 when I'm fucking better than them.
Right.
And you go in there and you give it all you got.
Yeah.
That's not going to happen no more. That's not going to happen no more because they give everybody a trophy now.
Right.
No matter whether you suck or not, correct?
Yeah, it's true. They have for decades
so
now.
So we don't know that kind of mentality. That I'm going to go in there and be the best motherfucking hot carrier they have.
Right.
Or the best carpenter they have. Or the best bar. You know, it's just I'll do my mediocre job and I'll do what I do for $7.50 an hour because they won't give me any more money. That's a good attitude in a way. But it's also a bad attitude in a way.
Right.
Because once you win those people over, they will give you the $15 you
Absolutely.
Really fucking deserve. You know
yeah.
what I'm saying? It's kind of weird. So you have to go in there and be a fucking tyrant. And then if you find out they don't fuck around, then you go suck my dick. I'll go. Because somebody's going to realize how good of a worker you
right.
are in the workplace. Somebody's going to go, this motherfucker's good. You know what? He's supposed to be here at 8, but he's here at 7:45.
Right.
He's supposed to be here till 5, but he's here till 5:20 every day.
Yeah.
This guy wants the fucking job. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So. That's the problem we do it. Let me get some shout-outs.
All right.
We'll get the fuck out of here.
Right.
Lee's falling asleep on me.
Lee!
My main man, Jeff Warsaw, Lassai Rude, Ookie Spooky, Harry Galakian, Joey Zaza Tweets, Burbank 818, get well, buddy. You know I love you. I can't do this without you. Renegade Truth, Pete, and Jesse Wright. Excuse me, always laying some fucking pipe and shit.
Is Ookie Spooky going this weekend?
To Austin, I'm not sure. I should contact her. I don't think I have tickets left.
Oh, I don't know.
It's a Rogan show.
I was just saying, I didn't know if she was going.
I know Bobby Sharon's coming. I know my main man Dave Wilder's coming from Dallas. I know Crystal's coming with Bobby, my man. You know, I know they're coming to fucking Austin. So, anything else I can fucking tell you, cocksucker? I had something I was going to talk about. Pop music. Talk about. Pop music. Shooby shooby dooba. Pop, pop, doo-wop, Dallas, New York, London, Munich, everybody talk about pop music, talk about bada-boom, pop music, talk about the fuck you think you're dealing with, huh? You want to hit another star, you're not high enough, I'm telling you.
Yeah, he doesn't look high enough.
I don't look high enough.
We're going out tonight.
He doesn't
what?
Look happy enough.
You going to go see Ron White with me? I'm going to have to follow that fucking savage tonight.
Yeah, sure.
Where's that?
At the store.
Damn.
I had to follow me on that. I had a good set. I lucked out. But 2 in a row, you can't. You're not gonna luck out with that.
Yeah,
you know, and
that's awesome, though.
Now I go down and I'm thinking about this. Before I get in the shower, I sit down with a notebook. I know I'm not dilly dallying.
Right.
But last year I was at the store. I was just throwing my waste away. Mm-hmm. I was wasting somebody's time. Somebody who was really in love with comedy, what should have been there.
Right.
I had just gotten the longest yard. I was disgruntled. My addiction was to an all-time high. And I was like, you know what? The quicker I stop going to the store, the quicker somebody will give me a TV show. I don't know where I got that delusion from
right.
in my head. But then what happened was the whole thing with Joe, and I said to myself, you know what? You got to close one door to open up another door.
Yeah.
That's how I looked at it. But right now, that was... I've been back there a year ago, and I know my comedy has grown. I
yeah.
know it's leaps and bounds. Because
it's a better place to be, too, recently. I think.
Lee.
What's up, buddy?
When you go to that fucking 24-hour fitness.
Yes.
And you do your 62 minutes on the fucking treadmill.
Right.
And you do your little kettlebell workout that you tell me you did.
Yes.
Look me in the fucking eye. Where's the workout better? When you're by yourself or when you're with us on Tuesday?
Tuesday.
You know why?
Why?
Because somebody pushes you.
Yeah.
Because people are there. Because people say, hey, you know what, Lee, do the rope. If you just had to do 10 sets of kettlebells, you leave.
That rope is hard.
But when he tells you to do the rope, when he tells you to do the dead squats, you do them. What are we talking about? The only way to press 300 pounds is to press 300 pounds. Even if you come back and go, Joey, you put 300 on the bar and I didn't do it today. You didn't do it today, but you know what? You pushed it an inch. So next week, when we do this workout again, at the end of the workout, we're going to put everything on. We're going to push it 2 inches. And eventually, you're going to fucking push this thing. You're going to look at me and go, Joey, how the fuck did that happen? You have to do it. You know what I'm saying? So
I love the kettlebell class. It's so fun.
I don't even know what my point was. We're talking about help. I was going to talk about when I, you know, when you go to the comedy store and somebody pushes you.
Yeah, like Ron White.
Like Ron White or Joe Rogan or fucking Neil Brennan or Sebastian or you. There's a lot of comics that work out of the box and they're tough to follow. I had one night when it was tough years ago at the store. I remember there was that phony priest was up there and you destroy like on a Tuesday night and I had a hard time because of your style. You had a suit on and shit. You had your girlfriend in the audience. You were dropping knowledge on bitches and shit. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But it's really weird when you go to a comedy club and me, I don't have to have a drink. But when you look at the lineup and go, I'm following four killers.
Yeah.
I better come out there with... So I go for the energy trick.
Right.
I just come out there yelling and screaming because that's what I'm going to have over the four people.
Yeah.
And am I funny than them? No, I'm going to trick them with energy.
Right.
But it teaches me that when I go on the road, if I go out with the same energy... It's like John Butt. When I get to class, jiu-jitsu class in the morning, John Butt always goes, all right, Joey Diaz, show me what you got.
Right.
I get on top of John Butt and twist my body. And I put my arm behind his neck and I push my fucking shoulder into his jaw. And then I get on one knee and I push everything I got into him. It's 300 pounds of fat Cuban.
Right.
That becomes 500 pounds.
The Cuban press.
I know he's in the bottom appreciating that because he knows it's like working out with a 35-pound kettlebell.
Yeah.
And then you switch to a 45 and you go back to the 35. You're like, damn.
Yeah.
This is two different worlds. He knows he's going to go up to John Jocks. And when somebody 170 gets on top, he's going to fucking throw him off like a cookie.
Right.
Because if he throws me off at 300 pounds, he'll take a guy that weighs 170. That's the same thing the comedy store does to you.
Yeah.
When I go out on the road and I do the same kind of energy as the comedy store, I'm a way better comic.
Right.
Way better comic. Because
you don't have to follow four vets.
You know, there's a place that always calls me to go down there. I love going down there, but when I go down there, as I'm sitting, I get depressed. Like, why am I here?
Right.
I can't believe I got to follow this guy. I don't want to outshine him and go crazy and kill the rest of the show because the people behind me are not going to be able to even compete.
Right.
So I stopped going down there because it's a waste of my time. There's no, it doesn't get my heart pumping.
Right. Yeah, I remember one time I had to go up after Norm MacDonald went up, then Dave Attell went up.
Oh.
And Kathy Lewis was supposed to be up after them, and she goes, oh, she made an excuse like, oh, I got bumped, so I'm leaving. And then old Fulcheron had to fucking deal with it. But you know what? It was fun. I was nervous as fuck, but it was fun. It was a good show.
Every fucking night on Twitter, some moron puts the schedule at the comedy store up. And I look at it and it says, Joey Diaz, right before Joe Rogan. And I've never thought of fucking canceling. I never thought of lying and going, I have another gig. I'll be there 20 minutes late. I go down there to face this challenge.
Yeah.
And like I said, I died a couple weeks ago. I had to throw an awkward joke in there that took me away out of my set.
Yeah.
And I threw it up as a fucking safety net.
Uh-huh.
But I went home and I realized what I'd done. And now you got to prepare yourself to follow Joe Rogan or Sebastian.
Right.
You got to really prepare.
Oh, you got to get ready.
Or Gerard Carmichael. There's a couple guys
down there. You got to get ready all day.
There's a couple guys down there that are fucking killers. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You got to be prepared, Lee, cocksucker.
Get prepared, Lee.
Where are you going on the road next, brother?
I'm just going to that Idaho gig.
Okay.
And I think
what's
I'm doing
this gig in Idaho? Is it a bar? Is it a private?
I think it's a fucking Best Western.
Okay.
But you know what?
I'm
some kid I know who opened for me in Scottsdale years ago puts me up in Idaho once a year. So, you know, fuck it. Why not? It pays.
Yeah, no, I ain't mad at you, bro. I'm not here to criticize you, brother. I'm just saying, it's great to fucking, listen, man, the whole comedy game is to get out of your comfort zone and to go rock in other neighborhoods.
Yeah.
Thursday night is my favorite night because it's do and die.
Yeah, I love Thursdays, too.
It's Gladiator. I may believe I'm Russell Crowe.
Right.
I'm going into that fucking thing, and I'm going to go, fuck, oh, my God, I'm getting high as fuck. I'm starting to get anxiety. I'm hearing noises and shit. I'm hearing Pink Floyd. Us and Them, for some reason.
Yeah.
One of these Russians in the building have it on. I love it.
It's been going on for a while for me.
For you?
What, you hear Us and Them? Or?
Dark Side of the Moon?
I don't know what song I'm hearing.
All right, we'll just sit there and meditate for 10 more minutes. We'll get you out of here, cocksucker.
An unspecified song is going on in Lee's head right now.
I love stand-up, and if you're thinking about it or you're doing it, man, it's a fucking journey.
Yep.
And listen, I wish you luck. I wish you do get seen at the new comic night, and they take you to Montreal and give you $500,000. But the beauty of it is the 10, 12, 13 years when you put into it. And you're like, now I got 13 years in this. I'm invested. I might as well go for 20.
Yeah.
And you still become that much better. You become that much better. But you know you're still shitty. Like in the back of my mind, I suck. And I can't imagine if I'm having no sets. Like I just heard the CD I did in D.C.
Uh-huh.
Not badly. I sent it to Lee. He didn't listen to it.
He didn't
listen
to me.
He don't care. Didn't I send you two copies when I was in D.C. and you were in Toronto? Tell me you didn't get
them. I listened to them, but they were like 3 seconds long.
You fuck. Look at
it. It wasn't a whole track.
No, but I'll send you the new track. But I listened to it, and I was like, I can't believe that's me.
Yeah,
I can't believe that was me.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah.
But then I'm like, you know, 20 fucking years. I should have 22 CDs out. I'm the one that fucked up with doing all the blow and not doing it the right way all these years, you know?
Yeah.
What are you going to fucking do?
You're going to keep going. That's what you're going to do.
Yeah, no, man. And you're working with me the night before Thanksgiving in Irvine.
Yeah,
I got two
it's
shows.
Be dope.
I don't know what the date is, November 20-something. Just be prepared to rock.
Yeah,
we're doing
I'm ready.
Two Wednesday night shows, Stars of Death, Lee Syatt. We're doing a fucking, do a little dog bark for your Uncle Joey. Look at you. Look at
you should make that a clip. Soundbite.
All right, let me talk to you fucking people here for a minute. You got these sheets for your Uncle Joey? I got a fucking email. I fucked up. Something happened. What the fuck did they say to me? Somebody. People always fucking tormenting my life, all right? So I always get yelled at for shit like that. All right, for starters, you know me, dog. Honored.com. Tremendous. They're my bread and butter. I was telling somebody I took the one with the mushrooms in it? Shroom Tech Sport. And I had too much air. I couldn't breathe. I thought I was getting a heart attack. I was blowing up like a fucking balloon. That's how good Shroom Tech is. I was getting too much air. The sport. The immune is what I live on. That's why Lee got sick, and I never get sick when I fly. Because I take 2, 3, 4, 5 immunes. I take 2 more when I'm in flight. I drink water the whole fucking flight. I don't touch nobody. I bring the handy wipes. I don't touch nothing. Everything is handy, wiped down, my hands, everything. You don't fuck around. But anyway, what I'm trying to say to you is on it, don't fuck around, all right? From the hemp force protein shake to the acai to the chocolate shake, which is delicious, the best chocolate in the market. I just bought a chocolate protein just to switch it up a little bit. It's supposed to be chocolate fudge. It tasted like chocolate dick. It was terrible. I'm going back to on it like a motherfucker. Go to onit.com. Look at all the other line of supplements they have. If you like something, give it a shot. I mean, listen, their main bread and butter, Alpha Brain, the Nootropic, this thing, you don't like it, you get your money back, they don't even want the product back. Who does that? I got a little snot that's bothering me. Who takes care of you like that? Nobody, cocksucker. Go to Honor.com and press in.
Church.
Boom, and get 10% off your first order. If you want to do the stay on it and get it every month and get it shipped to your house, just call them down there and they'll ship it directly to your house and you get an additional 10%. All right, you know why? Because that's how we roll. Let me tell you something. You ever been sitting there for a weekend, you don't know what to eat, you're bored to pieces, you end up eating shit? You don't need to do that no more. You know what? NatureBox.com is here to the rescue. NatureBox has the most nutritious, delicious snacks out there with a seal. You could eat a couple ounces and lock them up. I'm talking about the what do you like? The chocolate nom noms. I'm talking about the lentils. Oh my God, the black and the salt and pepper lentil beans are fucking delicious, okay? What else you like, Lee? You're the too
barbecue
fucking,
kettle kernels.
The barbecue kernels.
I mean, listen, you do.
They put new product up on the website every day. Do me a favor. Go to naturebox.com. Look at the great selection of snacks they have. You want one? Get a box on them. Ship right to your house on them. Who's better than that, okay? Go to naturebox.com and press in.
Go to naturebox.com/Joey.
Go to naturebox.com/Joey. And don't press in dick. Just press that in and order 5 snacks. They'll put it in a box and send it right to your house. Once you get it, you're going to thank me on Twitter because they're going to be the tastiest snacks you've ever had in your life. And hey, they ain't doing this forever. So fucking chop chop, all right? Go to naturebox.com right now and get the first box on them. All right? Who's better than Uncle Joey? Hooking you up with snacks. You can do 22 fucking bong hits. Who's going to be there? Nobody. Uncle Joey's there with Nature Box to the rescue. Dun, 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 dun. You know what I'm wearing right now? Not only do I have not only do I have me underwear on, I also have me underwear shorts on. Let me show you this fucking moment. What are you giggling about, retardo? Check this out.
That's a beautiful man
you
right there.
You see these fucking shorts right here?
Yeah.
These are, you see how the nuts, how tight my shit is there? And the nuts, these are me undies for you. I don't fuck around. I wear them too. I just don't sit here and say, go to MeUndies.com and get yourself a great pair of underwear. No, I fucking don't. I wear this shit, okay? I'm not some fucking half a mook from the other side that's just trying to fucking flip a buck. I want you to be comfortable. I want women to look at you and say, look at that man's bulge. I want men to look at you and go, look at that woman's fucking monkey. Look at the way it looks in those MeUndies fucking underwear. That's what I fucking need from you. You understand me? So let me put it to you this way. Go to MeUndies right now. They got a great selection of men and women underwear. Oh, my God. They have shorts. They have cut-off T-shirts. They got hooded sweatshirts. Oh, my God. They got everything. But do me a favor. Last time I didn't mention it. I said that. Sorry to bother you. The last ad, you didn't mention the Joey after the MeUndies.com. Well, I'm going to mention it, all right? Go to MeUndies.com and press Joey. That's how I roll. I want you to get the satisfaction guarantee. I want you to have the best underwear, the best shorts you could buy. And you know what they are? They're cool, they're hip. Every time I go to jiu-jitsu, I wear those underwear. They're my favorite underwear to fucking work at them because I know everything's tucked, taken care of, and everything's cool. They keep my nuts sack cool. They pull the moisture away from it. I go have sex with somebody. I can be confident. You understand me? You ever go have sex and you know your balls stink like 10 dead fucking Iranians?
Yes.
That don't happen with MeUndies. Go to MeUndies.com right now /Joey's. /Joey and get 20% off your first order and free shipping in Canada and the United States. That's how I roll, people. You understand me? So I'm giving you Onnit.com. I'm giving you NatureBox.com. The first box is on them. And MeUndies.com/Joey for the most comfortable underwear and men's sportswear on the market today. And they're giving you 20% off and free shipping. That's MeUndies for you, right?
Boom.
And that's how we fucking do it. I want to thank Matt.
My pleasure. The fucking anytime.
Full charge.
The full charge.
Fultron. Oh, shit. This is how we fucking do it on a Monday. On a Thursday. I'm sorry. I'm all fucked
Whatever
up,
day man. It is, it feels right.
Whatever day it is, it feels right. Look at this. I get a hotel. Celebrate our grand opening. What fucking grand opening? I don't even know these people. Why would I fucking go to your
We ain't celebrating
opening?
Your shit.
Yeah, what the fuck? What do people always invite me to grand party. Openings? Like, I know people and shit. I don't know nobody. I barely got my own fucking problems and dilemmas. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
What's up, Lee? What are you going to do this weekend without your Uncle Joey? I'm coming back Sunday. We're doing a special podcast Sunday night at 8 o'clock.
Well, you'll be coming down from this edible around Saturday night, Lee.
Yeah, probably around then. I don't know, man. We don't have that much planned. To be honest,
you're not gonna get bicycles and go to Marina Del Rey without helmets or something like that. What are you gonna do?
What's your girl got planned for you?
I know he's always got something.
Nothing.
When's the fair?
Next weekend.
You gonna go to the fair? You gonna rent bicycles? Be careful.
No, I ain't rent bikes.
Next thing you know, fucking Caitlin's down there, run off the road, hit you, and there you are getting hit by a transgender fucking.
That's how you're going out.
That's a terrible way to die.
My brother, thank you for coming on. Always,
my pleasure.
Always a pleasure.
My pleasure. Anytime, man.
I wanted a chill fucking dude today. I didn't want no drama. I wanted somebody to come in and drop knowledge like you always
do. Of course.
And you did it. That's it. That's
thank
all
you.
I need. I don't want no fucking drama. I don't need no celebrities. We got family here. The fuck is your problem,
yeah.
You boy?
I don't have a problem.
You ready for the food truck? Mercy's
I can't go to a food truck now.
Yeah, why you not? Can.
What's the matter?
I can't go in the public like this.
Why not?
You have a cute little daughter. I can't. No.
You think she's going to judge you?
She knows. I her, judge me.
She knows her uncle Lee. That's all she
knows. No, I can't.
She wants to see her.
She won't know the difference. Just don't talk.
Just don't talk. Hey, I'll give you another piece. You want another little piece?
No.
You want a little piece to go?
I'm good. I'm good. I got a lot at home. I'm good.
All right.
Thank you.
I'm always offering you.
Oh, you know what? I'll take some.
You will?
Fuck yeah.
You
fuck yeah.
This
fuck
is tremendous. Yeah. I'll give you 100 milligrams.
Good.
This will put you
perfect. Right. I can get on Lee's page. Get up to Lee's level.
No.
I'll call you, man.
I have
I'll be like, you know where you were this afternoon? I'm there right now, bro.
You eat this tonight.
All right, cool.
You'll be on another fucking planet. You understand?
That's where I want to be.
It'll be a little hard.
Every once in a while, I get a little tired of Earth.
What is this shit? What are you doing, Lee? Why are we here? I love you, cocksucker. Stay black. See you Sunday night, 8 o'clock.
Did we just forget that we were recording?
No.
I don't know nothing. I don't know nothing about recording.
Thank you, Joe.
We're just here to fucking tell people I love you guys. Have a great weekend, Ookie Spooky.
Where are you going to be?
Punky, I love you guys. Cleo, my girls. When am I going to be this weekend?
No, next weekend. Are you going to New York soon?
No, I'll be home the next couple of weeks. September 11th, I'm doing a run-through of the special set up at the Ice House.
Oh, beautiful.
8 o'clock on Friday, September 11th. The following week, I'm in Las Vegas at the South Point Hotel. And the following week, I'm in Gotham, New York City, Friday, yeah! Saturday, 11:45. Yeah! Two shows, in and out.
Oh, and I talked to the guy at the South Point. If you want to go to the special, tell them that you want to go when you're booking the room and you're going to get your room for cheaper.
See what I'm saying? They're always taking care of you people. Always trying to help you out, $10. Hey, man, you want to come out? We're going to have Stars of Death when we get fucked up in Las Vegas. Old school. By the time we leave, we're going to have Lee fucking 69ing with two dead hookers.
Yeah.
Fucking thing.
Part of my contract is you need a stretcher there at all times.
And you're going to eat some strawberry shortcake.
Oh, God, yeah. Oh, you're already thinking about it.
I'm taking
you. You don't want to switch to another one?
What?
Maybe the brownie?
Fucking brownie. I want a brownie without weed. Like, you know what I'm saying? I don't give a fuck about brownie.
Oh, the weed ruined brownie.
Oh, shut the fuck up. I'm going to eat some piece of shit brownie. It's got almonds in it, organic.
No, they were raised in a cage. Chocolate.
I don't give a fuck. If that thing don't have 500 milligrams, I'm sick of brownies.
What about my brownie? Cake?
Put the fucking music on already, please. I love you, cocksuckers. Have a great weekend. Stay black. I got shit to do and people to see. Put the music.
Where's the music? All right. I got to do the ants.
I'm so stoned right now. I need this. I need this metal.
Me too.
We need some tunes.
Now that this show's over, don't forget to go to naturebox.com/Joey and sign up to get your sample box on them. Forget the vending machine and start snacking smarter with delicious treats like barbecue kettle kernels. Go to naturebox.com/Joey. That's naturebox.com/Joey. Go to MeUndies.com/Joey and get 20% off of their great men's and women's underwear. They have shirts, socks, sweatshirts. You're going to get 20% off your first order and free shipping in the United States and Canada. And go to Honest.com and use code word church to get 10% off all the great optimization products.
Boom! You did it, fuck.
That's how you advertise. Joey, you don't want to put his headphones back on, dude. Thank you.
Yeah.